This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropping.
Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod Brooks.
Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown!
There's T-Mobile.
He gonna come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo!
McCoy. Touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Mm. All right, a week and a half into it, I finally cracked and said the wrong sponsor. It was a good run. It is presented by Napa Auto Parts. Of course, we're here until 3 o'clock today to talk about the Bills and the NFL and to talk with you. The phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. And pretty good lineup today. We're going to talk with Ryan Davis, new Bills defensive end. He's going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Just signed his contract yesterday. Ryan Davis will join us today over the telephone to talk about what it means to come to the Buffalo Bills. Steve Tasker, the Bills' all-time special teamer, will be joining us in studio at 1 o'clock, plus a lot of fun with the NCAA tournament in town and some discussion topics about that. And we'd love to hear from you, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. Got a Twitter poll up. We'll talk to you about that in a moment. But good afternoon, Donald. How are you today? You good?
I'm good, yeah. I'm good.
It's good to be here and good to be ready to talk some Bills football. I hope you're ready, right?
I'm ready. Let's do this. I'm actually trying to watch some highlights of Ryan Davis rushing off the edge.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready. And we'll.
I'm ready. I'm with you.
Ryan Davis is going to join us at 12:30. Bills news today. No signings to report today. No free agent visits to report today. They did late yesterday announce that they've signed another wide receiver, Jeremy Butler, agreeing to terms to a contract. 6'2", 213-pound product of Tennessee Martin came into the league as an undrafted free agent with the Ravens a couple of years ago. Three seasons in the NFL for Jeremy Butler. 12 NFL games, 33 catches total, 374 yards. Also spent time in the league with Tampa Bay, the Jets, and San Diego. Jeremy Butler, wide receiver, is now a Buffalo Bill. As we look for a second wide receiver, Donald, I don't know. Is this the guy, potentially? What do you think?
No. Okay. I think that the guy is going to come through the draft. You know, I think that these two guys that they signed in the last couple of days are guys that are, you know, they're depth guys. You know, you're third or fourth guys that can help you out on special teams. I don't look at them as your number two, though.
So we still look for a number two for the Bills?
I think so. Yep. I think that number two receiver is going to come through the draft. Even if you were to bring in a bigger name in free agency, I don't think that's going to be your number two. I think that would be your number three, and you're still going to draft one.
All right, so that gets right to our Twitter poll. And we know, you know, people talked about it yesterday on the show. We know it's the topic on everybody's mind, and we want to hear from you on this. Where will the second wide receiver come from for the Buffalo Bills at this stage, knowing what you know about the free agent market, knowing what you know about the Bills' needs? Where do you think that second wide receiver will come from? It is our Twitter poll. It is up right now, and you can log in at John Murphy Show. Where should the Bills find their number two wide receiver? So far, we have about 300 votes in, and most of you, 76%, say going to come through the draft, 11% say free agency, 9% say trade, 4% say already on the roster. I assume that 4%, Donald, people are taking into account people like who? Colby Listenby, I guess, or maybe you know, maybe the guy signed yesterday, Jeremy Butler. I don't know if that 4% is on, though. I don't know that the second wide receiver is on this roster. In fact, I don't think they are.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, the only person that they could be referring to is Colby Listenby, or maybe they're saying Charles Clay emerges as your number two wide receiver. You know, maybe that's what they're saying. I'm not sure. I think the number two wide receiver is not on this roster yet. I think you have to find that person in the draft. I think the only person that can be a viable number two wide receiver that's still in free agency is a guy like Kamar Aiken, and I think he's still a tweener of your two B, possibly a number three wide receiver. I think your number two receiver is going to come through the draft. So they're totally off.
You talked about Kamar Aiken a lot yesterday, in fact, to the point where people were already into it, right, saying Donald Jones is trying to recruit Kamar Aiken for the Buffalo roster. Is that
accurate? I had a lot of people, you know, tweet me asking me to recruit him. So, you know, we, like I said, Kamar and I talk, but obviously it's not up to me. He has to make that decision. The Bills have to make that decision. the money has to come together if there's already been those types of conversations, you know. And if he was to come in here, he could be your number two wide receiver. Kamara's a good wide receiver. I think that they still would end up drafting one early in the draft. I think they're going to draft one early, first or second round anyway, you know. And so that person is going to be your number two wide receiver, even if they were to sign Kamara.
Number a draft pick you would go with.
Yeah.
75% or so of our respondents to the Twitter poll say that too. And I would think that too. Does that mean necessarily you got to get that second wide receiver in the first round, do you think?
It doesn't have to be the first round, because the talks are, and when you look at this wide receiver crop coming out of college this year, you can find good wide receivers in the second, third, and possibly even into the fourth round, you know. So it's all on how you draft the guys, what you feel like your number two wide receiver is going to be. I think the fact that this draft is so defensive heavy and so many teams are looking defense, you might see a lot of these receivers start to slide into the second and third round just because everybody's going so defensive heavy in the top end of the draft. So you'll probably still be able to find one in that third and fourth round range.
A couple of people have tweeted in some responses to this. You can do that as well, or ring us up at 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. The question, where will the Bills get their number two wide receiver? And a couple of tweets on this. Mark Kelso's Helmet tweets in, the question should probably be where they find their number one.
Mark Kelso's Helmet?
That's the name of the Twitter handle, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty creative. Where do they get their number one? Well, you know, it's Sammy Watkins, of course, right? Sammy was hurt last year. We mm-hmm. get that. Are you giving up on Sammy Watkins already? I'm not.
I mean, you definitely don't want to. You hope he can come in here and stay healthy. The fact that he hasn't been healthy for a full season, at least in the last two seasons, is worrisome for me and for fans, I'm sure, as your number one guy. So, you know, you might have some fans that say, maybe Sammy's your number two, and he's the one that's on the roster, and maybe you're finding the number one in the draft.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't, but, you know, you have some people that will think that just because of the injuries.
John Dubik tweets in, draft. I do believe you can find a good number two receiver in the draft. And Mike tweets in, Sammy wide receiver number one. Draft Davis or Williams for wide receiver two. Let the rest of the roster compete for number three. Yeah, I'm good with that. In fact, I like that whole scenario, Donald.
I like it. I like it. I think you can find a solid number two wide receiver in this draft. And like we said, it doesn't have to be in the first round, even though those top two receivers – are good receivers. Those two guys are not even my favorite coming out. My favorite receiver coming out of this draft is Zay Jones out of Eastern Carolina.
First round, 10th overall, or no?
He's not going to go that high.
Right.
You know? But he's my favorite receiver. I think he's the one that's going to end up the best receiver.
And why is he your favorite?
As I watch him more since the Senior Bowl, I watched him obviously in those practices, but then in the game, I started to go back and look at his highlights, and he's just a complete receiver, you know? And then he ran his 4.45 or something like that at the combine. And for me, it just solidified that he's a sure – he should be a first round. If he doesn't end up going in the first round, he's going to be on the top half of the second round. And I would hope that the Bills can snag him.
And by virtue of what, moving down, trading down if they can, get him somewhere?
No, there? If he was to, like, move back into the second round.
All the way back
in
the, 10th and the second, wherever they go.
Right.
Could he last that long?
I think – because everybody's talking about this draft being so defensive heavy, you might have teams just like taking these corners and safeties because everybody needs them, because this is a passing league, you know. So you might have some of these offensive guys end up sliding because everybody's looking on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball.
So maybe the receivers drop down.
Maybe
Let's hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-552-550. Where do the Bills get their number two wide receiver? Can we assume that Sammy's number one? I would think so. But maybe we can't in some minds. Give us a call. Let's discuss. There's this in the way of news today also, Donald. This news came out overnight. The Los Angeles Rams have signed Bills offensive lineman Ryan Groy to an offer sheet. The report came last night. A two-year offer sheet worth $5 million, $3.5 million guaranteed on March 21st. The Bills put in a restricted free agent tender on Ryan Groy last week. They would not be entitled to draft pick compensation if Groy gets away, if they don't match. They do have the right to match, and they have about a week or so, I think, to decide whether to match. If Groy goes to the Rams, he'd be reunited with his offensive line coach here last year, Aaron Cromer. It stands to reason that Groy would be interested in,
it's good for him.
Getting some money, right? The guy's never really been had a big payday in the NFL.
Right. You know, it's good for him. You can't really expect the Bills to match that and pay millions of dollars for a guy who's going to be a backup on this roster.
Right.
You know, so it's good for him. He can go and get his money. He'll probably end up a starter there and have a good career. So I'm happy for him.
You don't look for the Bills to match?
I don't, because he's going to be a backup. You know, unless you're going to say, listen, this guy is going to be your right tackle. Other than that, he's going to be a backup. And are you going to match that money for a backup? I don't know.
That would add more, I think. I mean, it makes more sense now when you look at the signing of Vlad Dukas, who we had on the show here yesterday. The Bills maybe forecast that this might happen, and so kind of backstop themselves by signing Dukas as an interior offensive line backup. As Dukas took great pains to point out yesterday, he does not consider himself a center.
Right.
Groy, in fact, started 7 games at center once Eric Wood went down in November in Seattle. And so you wonder how that would play out. But, you wonder if they would even have signed Dukas had they expected to bring Ryan Groy back. It appears they would not.
Yeah,
They did not.
You know, do they know these things are going to happen? Like, you think yesterday or when they signed Vlad, they kind of had these rumblings that this was going to happen with Groy?
Yeah, I mean, they signed Dukas last week, right? Thursday, Friday?
Right.
So, yeah, they kind of, despite, you know, some sentiment out there, they kind of do have a pretty good sense of what's going on around the league, probably figuring, especially with Kromer at Rams, knowing the Rams needed offensive line help, did what they could. I guess they didn't really want to tender Groy again, as you pointed out, he's a backup. He will be a backup in Buffalo. Didn't want to tender him at the higher amount. Right. There was no draft pick compensation since he was undrafted, and so all of it adds up to the decision they made. But, obviously the Bills are losing some quality depth there, as Ryan Groy proved last year.
It's quality depth. Like you said, he proved that he can step in and play center. We all know that he can also play guard and tackle. So, you know, that's why they ended up making that offer, because they're bringing in a guy who can play all across their offensive line. He'll probably end up a starter out there, probably at the guard position, I would think. But you know he can play center, so he could be a starter at center. I don't know who's on their roster. But I think it's a good move for them, because I'm talking about, you know, the Rams, because of how versatile he is as an offensive lineman. And I think it would be a good move for him, because he can go out there and be a starter and have a long career.
So Ryan Groy looks like, at least has the offer sheet, and he from the Rams signed the offer sheet. Bills have some time to decide whether to match, and we'll see if they do. On the offensive line, the Bills did bring back Jordan Mills. That happened over the weekend, I believe Saturday this past weekend. Jordan Mills was in the building here yesterday. He had a chance to meet with the media late yesterday afternoon after we went off the air. And Jordan Mills talked about his status on this roster and what kind of security he has on the roster at the right tackle spot. Here's what Jordan Mills had to say.
My mentality about that is I approach it every day. Like, I approach everything every day is, you know, go out there, not to worry about what anybody else has to say. Let the coaches handle that and do my job. As long as I do my job, my security is there. And knowing the way I play and know my capabilities, and knowing, talking to Coach Castillo and Coach McDermott, and with the belief they have in me, and, you know, saying this is a competitive league and competition will drive this team and get us to the playoffs. So no matter what, you know, it's competition. It's a competitive league. We're competing against people. We're competing against each other every day to get better. So all I have to do is do my job and keep doing what I'm doing and improve from what I did last year, year before, and stuff like that, and get back on the field and improve my worth, which I will.
What was the last week like for you, kind of waiting and watching all these pieces fall into place?
It was kind of nerve-wracking, because it was my first time, actual time going through it, and, you know, getting the feel for free agency, and I was glad to get the call from Buffalo and get back here, and, you know, like I told Coach McDermott, you know, even though it's for 2 years, and Coach the GM Will, and even though I signed for 2 years, I want to be here for the rest of my career, and, you know, I just got to work hard at it and get after it, and we'll be back starting April 3rd and get around the guys. I know we have a few new pieces, get to know them and get after it.
Jordan Mills re-signed to the roster. The signing came on Saturday. I'll confess, Donald, I was surprised when that news came out Saturday that Jordan Mills was coming back. We heard nothing about any interest elsewhere in the league. The Bills, obviously, with the level of familiarity with him. And, they don't have a lot at stake there in terms of money. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think it's going to be a competition between him and somebody else. You know, you look at the contract. What is it, 2 years? 2 years and maybe two. I'm not sure exactly what the numbers are, but, you know, I think it's going to be an open competition. It's going to be interesting over the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, if they end up signing another guy to compete with him or if they draft one. You know, they use one of those six picks to draft the right tackle and make it an open competition in camp. But competition brings out the best in everybody. You can never really, you know, think that you have this whole thing locked down. So, you know, he has to be ready. He has to be willing to work.
Jordan Mills met with the media yesterday and was asked about his impressions of the new Buffalo coaching staff, including new offensive line coach Juan Castillo. Here's what Jordan Mills said about that.
He's very energetic. He's very enthusiastic, and he's very energetic, and, you know, he cares a lot. I got to talk to him a few times, and his, you know, his enthusiasm and his love for the game, his passion for the game is unmatched. And just to see, you know, he always has a smile on his face. He's always has something to talk about. It, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, I went to change and put this nice little get up. Everybody's giving compliments about it. But I walk upstairs. He comes behind me. He said, nice cologne. Is that 1 million? I said, how you know I got on that cologne? Because I got on the same cologne right now. I said, I told him, great minds think alike. And, he's a great coach, and he's been doing it for a long time. And I got to sit and talk with Coach McDermott. He's very excited. You know, he's a, you know, younger coach, and he's hungry, and he's hungry to get this team back into the playoffs and ultimately get back to the Super Bowl.
What do you sense as a, the word is difference, but, again, you were part of a whole different thing before, and your mindset was entirely different. Is anything striking you as, okay, this is different?
It's just their approach. It's just like the feeling of the walking. But even though it's a lot of construction and it's empty right now, it's just the feeling of the air is different. And nothing to knock, you know, Coach Rex. He was a great coach. He was a player's coach. He did everything in his power to make sure we could succeed. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, things didn't happen the way he wanted to last year, but, you know, this is the business. But, you know, walking in here and then feeling a different atmosphere, you know, the improvements of the training room and things of that nature, and then talking to the coaches and everybody smiling and can't already chomping at the bit to get started. I know if you talk to Coach McDermott right now, if he could have started after the league, the season was over, he would have. So to see how excited he is, and to, you know, want to build that championship style of play in football for this team and get these fans what they've been, you know, lacking and deserving, is, you know, it speaks volumes to me.
Jordan Mills talking to the media here today. Talked a lot there in that answer, Donald, about picking up on a new vibe here at One Bills Drive. Is that real, or is that just what you say when you sign a new contract? What do you think?
No, I think, I mean, there's definitely a different vibe here around the building, you know. And for a guy who, I'm sure he hasn't been here in the building like that, like we have. Mm-hmm. We feel the vibe, and we actually are here every day, you know. So for these players that really haven't been here since the season ended under Rex, or under Coach Anthony Lynn and Rex, now to come back, I'm sure everything feels different. Aside from the construction and everything that's going on, when he sits and he talks to this coaching staff, he's probably getting a total different feeling of their direction that they're going in, and, you know, how things are going to be and the rules and all of that stuff. So, yeah, it's a different vibe around here.
Let's take some phone calls on this or anything else. Where the Bills going to get their number two wide receiver? What do you think of free agency so far? Any at all questions about the Bills, comments about the Bills, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. We'll start with Mike on his cell phone. Go ahead, Mike. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, just think, Eric, what's a super guy, very talented, but I would personally move on from him because we're hurting for salary cap space and plus growing there. He did a good job last year. Thank you.
Okay. You'd move on from Eric Wood?
From
cut
Eric
Wood and let plug Groy in there? That'd be kind of a dramatic change. Boy, I don't know that I'm – I don't know. I don't think that I'm ready to give
move
up
on
Eric
Wood.
No, are you?
You know, nothing surprises me in this league, you know, with these with Doug and the new coaching staff. Nothing really can surprise you. They can make a move like that if they felt like, listen, we can plug Groy in, he'd be cheaper than what Eric Wood is making. I mean, that's what teams do. You know, I think that would totally be a business move. And it happens in this league all the time, business moves like that. So I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it did happen.
That'd surprise me.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to like about Eric Wood. And a lot of character issues that are, you know, not really easily quantifiable. And more than that, I think for the most part, he's a good, solid player. Not at the Pro Bowl level quite, but right there. And I think kind of a glue that holds a lot of that offensive line together. Could it happen? Sure it could, but it would surprise me. Here's a call from Rob in El Paso, Texas. Hello, Rob. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, you know, I hear a lot about the zone running scheme that's with the two tight ends. I was really curious what you guys thought about maybe getting O.J. Howard in the first round, maybe looking for that number two in either the second or third round, like we did like with Robert Woods, getting him as a second-round pick.
You know, I think you talked about this yesterday, and you're not really in favor of tight ends going that early
unless
in the first
they're really
round.
Special, and I don't know that O.J. Howard is that special. I don't think that he is from you know, I guess limited that I've seen. He's not a you know, he's not a game-changing type of tight end, I don't think. He's clearly the best tight end in the class.
Yeah. He's definitely the best tight end in the class. It's hard to tell if he's a game-changing tight end, but, you know, he can make plays down the field for you. That he can do. He's very athletic. I don't know if they would end up going tight end, though, at the number 10 pick. I think there are other positions. I think the wide receiver position would be more important at that pick than the tight end position. I think you could find a tight end in the third, you know, fourth, fifth round.
They have a pretty good tight end already in Charles Clay.
Right.
And they're tied up with him with a little bit of money here, too, a lot of money, actually. So I don't think that'd be the way I'd go, but you know, we'll find out, I guess, as the draft approaches. A call here from John in Buffalo. Go ahead, John. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
John, Donnie, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just want to ask a question, and I don't want a politically correct answer, Johnny. I want a question from you and Donnie's
okay, question. We'll give you the answer we want, but go ahead.
Quarterback, what do you think?
What's the question?
The question is, the Bills, do you think the Bills are going to draft a quarterback?
Not in the first round. I don't.
I didn't say in the first round, are they going to draft the quarterback? Don't give me a politically correct answer.
Hey, we'll answer the way we want. Hang on just a second, John. You know, don't tell us how to answer. Let Donald answer.
Okay. It's not going to happen in the first round. I think it can happen later in the draft.
All right.
I agree. Politically correct or not, I think they only have six picks. So if they come out of the draft without a quarterback, it would not surprise me. But, sure, I'd be looking for quarterbacks if I were them. They're tied up with Tyrod for the next couple of years, and they need to keep looking, I think, to see if they can strike gold. How was that? Politically correct, John, or not? Did it meet your standards? Hello?
I think he hung up on us.
Go ahead, John. Are you still there? Give me the answer we want. Don't tell me. You frame it like that. Don't give me a politically correct question then. What are we talking about here? Why do they call?
I don't know.
I don't get it. We're going to break. We're going to come back, try to get more calls on the air. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, talking a lot about receivers today and where the Bills should get their number two receiver from. We'll get back to more of that in a moment. But joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline, a new Buffalo Bill on the defensive side of the ball. He was here yesterday to agree to terms and sign his contract. Happy to have defensive end Ryan Davis on the line with us right now. Ryan, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. Thank you very much for being with us here. You beat the snowstorm. You got in and out of town before you got bogged down with the snow. That was a pretty smart move for you.
Yeah, it was, but thanks for having me, man. I'm honored to be here.
Well, tell me about the process of coming here to Buffalo, you know, a couple of days, 4 or 5 days into free agency. What got you here, Ryan?
Just the direction that McDermott and the whole staff, you know, from the ownership on down, just the direction they were going. You know, they wanted to build a foundation with some good guys, and I felt like he was the perfect fit for me, and who wouldn't want to be a part, you know, of that awesome D-line? I've been telling everybody that. You know, who wouldn't want to be a part of and alongside of, you know, this awesome D-line? So, for me, it was a no-brainer.
Ryan, do you know the guys on this line already?
No, I don't. I just know their work, you know, what I've seen on tape and, you know, just being a fan of the game. You know, I've been a fan of, Jerry Hughes since his days in college, so for me, you know, I think it's going to be a privilege to play, you know, play alongside of them. So I'm eager to get in the building and, you know, meet the guys and, you know, get to work.
Yeah, you know, people talk a lot about Kyle Williams and Marcell Dareus, and I think we sometimes forget Jerry Hughes, very good player and kind of a legend in his own right, and especially around Texas, right? That he was a legend down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a big deal. And, you know, for me, you know, being in college, you know, being one of those, you know, guys, you know, that had to fight for everything, I really, you know, watched him, you know, just kill guys in college so off the edge. So, he's a legend in his own right. You know, I'm a fan of him.
You talk about coming out of, you know, college. You came from Bethune-Cookman. You know, what's it like coming from a small school to now being on this level and now, you know, signing a contract like this?
For me, I don't think it really hit me yet, you know. You know, I've had to fight for everything so far and compete, you know, compete my tail off and everything. And that's just a part of who I am. And, I never really had a chance to stop and really think about, you know, how far I came because, you know, I still got a long way to go and, you know, I still got a lot more to do. And, but for me, I think this, you know, in its own right, it's a good accomplishment, but it's nowhere near where I want to be. I think I can take, you know, I think I can take this thing further and, you know, be even better.
We're on the line with Ryan Davis, new defensive end for the Buffalo Bills. Ryan, you went to school at Bethune-Cookman, and you make your home in Texas now for the most part, or was that just a one-year thing with the Cowboys this past year?
Yeah, it was just a one-year thing with the Cowboys this past year. I'll be living in Florida, in the Jacksonville area, but for the most part, yeah, it was just a one-time deal because I was here in Texas, yeah.
Jacksonville is where you spent the first couple of years of your NFL career. You grew up in the Tampa area in Hillsborough County. I read that you were the in high school the Hillsborough County slam dunk champion. I didn't even know they had that, Ryan. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man, I was a slam dunk champion not only in Hillsborough County but in Hillsborough and Pinellas County where they had like a bigger All Star game that has all the area athletes.
Uh-huh.
I won that one as well. I won two my senior year. You know, yeah, it was a big deal for me because, you know, I was a basketball guy coming up. I only played 1 year of, like, high school football. So I played basketball my whole life, and, you know, football just happened to work out better for me. But, you know, that was a big deal for me. I still got those trophies, and I still think about those days and what could have been and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that was a big deal for me back then.
You know, I read or I actually watched on YouTube a video of you. You were doing some community work. You in Tampa area. You gave away like 500 book bags to students in that area.
Yeah.
What's it like for you to be able to give back to your own community like that?
Yeah, man, that's probably not that's my favorite thing to do, man. That's my most prized possession. And for me to give back directly to the neighborhood where I grew up and, you know, where it had an impact on my life, like that park right there where I had it, and that middle school where I had it, that's where I went to middle school, and that's where, after school, I go to that park, you know, and chill out and have fun and shoot hoops and all that kind of stuff. So for me, to go up there and make everything free, like, you know, everything came out of pocket and, you know, donations and whatnot, that was a big deal for me. And I'm going to do it again this year. It's the Ryan Davis Back to School Bash. And, you know, I'll do it every summer now. I'll have it again this year, July 15th. And we're getting everything in order now, but that's a big deal for me.
Is that park where you caught your first dunk?
You know what? Yes, it is. But, you know, the thing is, back then, the rim wasn't 10 feet. So I think the rim was like 9'8". You know what I'm saying? But this was like middle school, high school, you know, on the verge of going to high school. So we used to, you know, dunk on that before we moved up to the 10 feet, you know, rim, where we could all, you know, just jump. So, that was the park where everything happened. My first fight, you know, kiss, you know, dunk, whatever, you know. Everything happened up there at that park, yeah.
Hey, Ryan, what was the path like from high school basketball star, you know, an all-star in Hillsborough and Pinellas County, to football at, you know, at Bethune-Cookman? Were you looking at maybe playing basketball in college as well before you turned to football full-time?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part. You know, that's part of the reason why you know, I chose Bethune-Cookman because I was under the impression that I would play basketball, you know, when I got there. You know, I thought I was going to be a two-sporter. I even met the basketball coach my first time day on campus. So, You know, for me, that's, you know, I was under that impression, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, somehow, some way, it didn't work out, but not under my power. It didn't work out. And, you know, yeah, I was blessed enough to, you know, stay on track with football and, you know, be good enough, you know, to have a chance in the league. And, you know, for me, you know, football has never been nothing new. I played it, you know, little league and all that kind of stuff. And, but, you know, it all worked out. No complaints here.
Ryan, you take pride in coming from an HBCU?
Yes, I do.
Do you get to go get back to Bethune-Cookman kind of frequently?
Oh yeah, I get back there you know sometimes when I can. I haven't been back this year yet. You know, I take a lot of pride in that because not a lot of guys come out of small schools at that, and you know, and then come out of small schools undrafted and you know have a little bit of success. So I take a lot of pride in that. You know, they love me back in Daytona. You know, and I love them back. So every time I'm you know, in Daytona area, you know, I got to go see the coaches or I got to go, you know, holler at my teachers or, mm-hmm. you know, just see everybody that helped me out along the way. So it's a blessing to be able to, you know, represent, you know, tiny Bethune-Cookman University on a national level. And so far, you know, I think I've been doing an all right job.
Murph, I believe Bethune-Cookman is where Drayton Florence went. Am I right, Ryan?
Drayton Florence?
Yeah. Did he go to Bethune-Cookman? I believe he went to Bethune-Cookman. But you got to get to the Hall of Fame, man, and see, you know, the part that they have there for HBCUs. It's a great thing, especially since you came from an HBCU.
Tuskegee. I just looked it up.
Okay, Tuskegee. There you go.
Yeah. We're on the line with Ryan Davis, Bills defensive end, just signed to a free agent contract yesterday. Brian, the first 4 years of your career, you got off to a good start. Undrafted, you wind up in Jacksonville. Tell me about those first 4 years, how things went with you, and what it was like playing for Coach Gus Bradley down there.
First 4 years, they were pretty good, man. You know, I had to, you know, work my way up the ranks, but, you know, I have no problem working for it. You know, I don't throw pity parties for myself. You know, I just got to go in there and work. Eventually, the cream will rise to the top. So, it was cool, man, getting to learn from Coach Bradley and his philosophies about getting better and everything and, you know, having a little bit of success. You know, Jacksonville doesn't owe me anything, man. It was a great city, great experience. You know, they're on the come up as well. And, you know, it was just fun. You know, I made a lot of lifelong friendships for a lot of guys on that team I still talk with today. And we're good friends with today. So, you know, it's been a great journey so far. In the first 4 years in Jacksonville, they were amazing. So, you know, pass out to that city and that organization.
Ryan, a lot of people have said that you're more of a run-stuffing type of defensive end. How do you see yourself?
That's funny. I don't think I'm just a run-stuffing defensive end. I think more so I'm a pass rusher. I think I'm a pass rusher at heart. And that's what I pride myself on. That's kind of how I called my niche out in this league, you know, just rushing from the edge and rushing from the inside. So, you know, I think, you know, that's more me. I use my quickness and my speed, you know, and I think I've used my hands pretty well. So, for me, you know, I think I can do it all.
Ryan, did you play in the London game against the Bills a couple of years ago? Were you there for that game?
Oh, yeah, I was there. I remember that game.
Yeah, what do you remember about that game?
I remember that we jumped out to a considerable lead.
Yeah.
We had a couple defensive touchdowns early out in the game, and then the Bills came back. You know, made it interesting. We got scared for a second, but we were able to close it out with Allen Hurns making a, you know, terrific diving catch. But you know, that was a fun. You know, it's always fun playing in London. You know, it's always a great experience. That was like my third time playing there, and you know, it was a fun experience. You know, getting to see and. You know, just play against the Bills at that time.
There was a famous play from that game that John always talks about. What play is that, John?
It's the Nickell Robey pass interference call, right, on the last drive. You remember that, Ryan, no?
I mean, hey, it happens, man. You know, sometimes these refs, you know, they miss calls and they make calls. We were just on the better side of that one that day. But you know how it goes in the league, man. It'll come back around somehow, some way.
Yeah. Tell me about this past season with Dallas, a season that was kind of cut in half for you because of a knee injury, right?
Yeah. This past season was definitely a humbling and a learning experience for me. At the top of the year, having a great offseason with Jacksonville, re-signing like a second round tender with them, and then they moved me. After I signed, they moved me to Sam Linewell. They call it Otto, but they moved me to linebacker, stack linebacker almost. And it's kind of like a curveball, but I felt like I was doing all right in that. I was doing good, holding my own. Especially coming from D-line, moving back, it's kind of, difficult. You don't get enough credit for that. But I feel like then they released me, it kind of, threw me off a little bit. I was kind of confused as to why and all this kind of stuff. You have, a pass rush and then you move me back. But I understand it's the business. It's the nature of the game. They got a lot of guys over there that can rush. And Dallas was, picked me up. And ever since then, I had, I strained the hamstring, I missed the game, and then the knee injury happened. And so, for me, it was just a learning experience. I've never been injury prone. I've never had, any kind of issue. It all just, kind of weighed on me mentally. And then, but at the same time, I was professional about it, And then, I was able to bounce back and really get healthy now. So it was a learning experience for me. And I'm just happy that I'm, Buffalo Bill now, and we can move forward, and I can use all of that last year as fuel, to play even better this year.
Ryan, do you think if you were asked here to play linebacker along with playing defensive end, is that something that you'd be okay with doing? The fact that you've already done it.
On the fact that I've already done it, yeah. I think I would be fine with playing that, but at the same time, I think my best attribute is pass rushing and getting after the quarterback and playing in the backfield. So as a teammate, I do it because, if the team needs me to. But at the same time, I think my best attribute is, getting after it, getting after the QB. So it would kind of be, in the middle right there. You probably have to, find a way for me to, rush a little bit. But I'm not a selfish guy at all. And I do what the coach is asking me if I see it fit. And that's how it is. So I know the nature of the business, nature of the game, and if it calls for it, injuries happen, I'll do it. So.
And the knee is fine. You're ready to go. You'll be up here in a couple of weeks. I wonder, Ryan, for the off-season workouts.
Oh yeah, I'll be up there in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm fine, they inspected me pretty good. MRIs, X-rays, all that kind of stuff, and. Twisting and squatting, if they do all the kind of stuff when you're physical, that they want to make sure that, you tell them the truth, number one. Then they want to make sure that it's structurally sound and everything's no damage or nothing like that. So I'll be fine when I come in, and everything will be fine.
Ryan, I watched another video of you. You bought a car for, I believe that was, is that your mom in the video? Back when you were in Jacksonville?
My mom, yeah.
So, I'm sure she's happy with this new contract and you moving up to Buffalo. Are we talking about another car or a house? Or?
Oh, no. We have to wait until we, the big contract for the house and all that kind of stuff. But, I'll probably get her a nice little, thank you gift, something like that, Not a car, not a house. But I'll get a nice little, probably take her to a nice little dinner or something. I think that'll be cool. Send her some pictures of her grandbaby, something nice and small like that.
Get her some flowers.
Yeah.
Get her some flowers.
Yeah.
Send her some edible arrangements.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you up here in a couple of weeks. Congratulations on the deal, and we look forward to watching you play up here in Buffalo.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, man. I can't wait.
Thanks a lot. Ryan Davis, the new defensive end for the Buffalo Bills, just agreeing to terms on a contract yesterday. Ryan joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Donald Ryan was determined to say that he was a pass rusher, not just an edge setter.
When sometimes you make a guy move, change positions, and it's not something that he's comfortable with doing, he's going to do it because obviously you're paying him, number one, and he wants to be a team player, but that's not what he likes to do, So he wants to let it be known that, listen, first of all, I'm not just a rush, a rush defensive end. I'm not just a run stopper. I can rush the passer, and I think that's something that he's going to want to get here and show on the field, you know. And this move really doesn't, even though I'm sure it surprises a lot of people, when you look at what Coach McDermott wants to get done, his defense is all predicated on pressure from up front. You know, it's all on – he doesn't want to have to send a lot of blitzes. He wants for his front line, his front four, to be able to get pressure, you know. So he wants to make sure that he has quality depth at those positions. And so it really doesn't surprise me that he made this move.
All right, we're going to come back, take some more phone calls. Hopefully our answers will be politically correct that you're looking for. Right? Check yourself, Donald.
Hey, I guess he tried to check us.
It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're presented by Napa Auto Parts, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. A lot to talk about in terms of Bills receivers today. Where should the number two receiver come from? We'll get back to those phone calls in a moment. It's a fun week to be in Buffalo, Donald, with the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament rounds 1 and 2 coming here to Buffalo this week. Of course, everybody becomes a fan, right, this time of year. We've talked about it last few days, including new Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who today went down to downtown Buffalo and had a little FaceTime with Jay Wright, the head coach of the NCAA defending national champion Villanova Wildcats. Jay Wright, the coach of Villanova, tweeted this out. Great to have Bills head coach Sean McDermott with us this morning in Buffalo. Bills will be tough under his leadership. You got to imagine some Philadelphia connection there between those two, Sean, a native of Philadelphia. Wonder if he grew up a Villanova fan. I don't know.
A lot of people there did grow up Villanova fans. I have a few people that I know that went to Villanova, you know, and they're like Villanova diehard Villanova fans, you know. So it's not surprising that he would probably go to a lot of their games. I wouldn't be surprised if he was, like, if he really grew up a Villanova fan.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Villanova alums here in Western New York, and a lot of them will be down at the arena on Thursday. Their practices, open practices at the arena on Thursday, and it tips off on Thursday afternoon. And there are, believe it or not, tickets still available for the sessions in downtown Buffalo at ncaa.com/mbbtickets.
And you're going to which games?
I'm going to all the Thursday games and then Saturday.
All of them, so during the day and at night?
Yes, you'll be on your own Thursday. No, actually, you'll have Sal in here on Thursday.
Yeah, I have Sal on Thursday. Now, I might actually be going to the night games, not the day games. But I want to see Villanova play. You know, the games during the day, like Wisconsin.
Schedule. Notre Dame-Princeton, 12:15. Should be an interesting game. West Virginia-Bucknell, 2:45.
Definitely don't care about that one.
Really?
West Virginia's
fun to watch. They're wild.
But they're playing Bucknell.
Yeah. West Virginia's wild. They just run and fire it up. It's fun to watch. And then at night, 7:10, Villanova and either Mount St. Mary's or University of New Orleans, that game tonight. Mm-hmm. Winner of that game tonight gets Villanova. And then Wisconsin and Virginia Tech, which actually, you know, it's an 8-9 game, might be the best game of the first day of the tournament here.
I think that probably is going to be the best game. Either one of those teams could pull that one out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be some good games. I know you're a little bit disappointed your Michigan boys didn't get to come to town.
No, they're in Indy on Friday. That's okay. That makes sense. By the way, Virginia Tech, we're told, the team and maybe some of the staffers might make a visit here to the stadium later today.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Get a little tour. All right, let's get back to some phone calls here about the Bills. It's Mike in Buffalo. Welcome, Mike. You're on the air with us.
Oh, thank you. I just had a question about the wide receivers. What's wrong with us having a draft another number one this year? We have two number ones. And that way, their contracts will be far enough apart that you can sign them both back.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, actually. And, Donald, I think you meant – I mean, look, if they get Corey Davis or Mike Williams with that 10th pick, I would think you would still consider Sammy Watkins the number one. But, you know, those things change. And you don't – listen, they don't designate them. I think we look at it as number one, number two, simply because you know, you want to have a showcase receiver, a featured receiver, but maybe you don't have to play it that way.
Hey, you don't have to play it that way. Ultimately – you know, what shows is who Tyrod is comfortable throwing the ball to. You know, he's going to throw the ball down the field to Sammy Watkins. He might have a number two receiver who can get down the field, but he likes to use underneath, you know. So, ultimately, it shows out on the field and not really what we say and what people think. Oh, he's the number one, number two. That stuff really doesn't matter, man. And to be honest with you, Sammy Watkins is your number one, but – he has to be available. He has to be available all the time for you. Now, guys get hurt, But you, for the most part of the season, you need to be available to be considered a true number one receiver and for them to pay you like the number one receiver moving forward. You
well,
know?
Yeah, and I think when I think of a number one receiver, number two receiver, I think I'd think of it more, Donald, in terms of who's making the money at that position,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard to pay two guys a ton of money
yeah.
at wide receiver. It just is. And I think, you know, we anticipate that Sammy Watkins is going to be the guy and make the money. But if he, as you said, if he's not available, now he missed half a season total, eight games last year, and mm-hmm. kind of gutted it out for the rest of the year. And the year before, he played all but three games. Is Sammy injury prone? Is that, I hate to think that we've tagged him with that already.
You definitely hate to think that.
He missed half a season with the foot last year and three the year before.
When you look at the games that he's missed, I mean, it's he missed half the season, obviously, and only three games the year before. But it's the actual injury itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unpredictable and what's going to happen, especially at that position, wide receiver, to have foot surgery after foot surgery. You know, so it's something that you really have to watch moving forward. Can he get through a full season without these foot in, this foot keep on cropping up on him? You know,
right.
That's something that we really have to watch. And I think that's what they're going to watch. If it keeps to crop up on him and he keeps on having these issues, then they have to look a different way at we might have to consider somebody else our number one receiver.
Yeah, I get that. I just I don't want to tag him as an injury guy yet.
I don't want to say he's injury prone. I just look at that injury itself and the history, different guys in different sports that have had that injury and go on to just keep on having issues with
it. Gotcha. All right, we're going to break. Steve Tasker standing by to join us in the next hour of the show. We will resume this discussion, and there's a lot more to talk about with Steve Tasker in the next hour as well. So come on back to John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive, where it is quiet in free agency for the Buffalo Bills today. Late yesterday, they announced that they had signed wide receiver Jeremy Butler, a 6'3", 213-pound product of Tennessee Martin, came into the league as an undrafted free agent with Baltimore in 2014 and has played three seasons in the NFL, 12 games, 33 catches. Other than that, fairly quiet around the Bills. Last year's Bills offensive line backup, who went on to be a starter for seven games, Ryan Groy, he's been signed to a offer sheet by the Los Angeles Rams, a two-year sheet worth $5 million, $3.5 guaranteed. The Bills have time to match it. If they do not, they get no draft pick compensation. Malcolm Butler, the highly regarded cornerback for the New England Patriots, free agent, restricted free agent, is visiting the New Orleans Saints later this week. He is a restricted free agent, and the Patriots reserve the right to match any offer. If the Patriots declined to match, Butler would join the Saints, and the Patriots would get New Orleans' first-round draft pick. Oakland Raiders last night signed former Vikings wide receiver kick returner Cordarrelle Patterson. The deal for 2 years and can be voided to one. And late yesterday, linebacker DeMarcus Ware announced that he's retiring from the NFL at the age of 34 after 12 seasons. Ware came to the Broncos from the Dallas Cowboys as part of a 2014 free agent signing. Buffalo Sabres on the road start their three-game California road trip tonight with a game at San Jose against the Sharks tonight, 10:30 faceoff. Buffalo recalled Hudson Fashing from the Americans yesterday. He is expected to be in the lineup at some point during the three-game trip. And travel issues for some of the NCAA basketball tournament teams. The defending national champions, Villanova Wildcats, came to Buffalo yesterday to get ahead of the storm that hit the East Coast. Villanova will play either Mount St. Mary's or University of New Orleans Thursday night at the KeyBank Center. Bills head coach Sean McDermott, Philadelphia native, visited Villanova's team hotel today in Buffalo. And the Princeton Tigers play Notre Dame here in Buffalo Thursday afternoon. Princeton, some players may have to take their midterms at the hotel here in Buffalo this week. John Murphy with Donald Jones. And Steve Tasker joins us here in our One Buffalo studio. How about that? Congratulations, you're in the tournament, and bring your number two pencils.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, not fun.
It's definitely not fun. They still got to get their work done, but just think about it. You get to do your midterm in a hotel room by yourself. There's nobody watching.
Oh, no, not so fast there in Youngstown State. They are flying a proctor up, a university professor to proctor those exams. But that's a little revealing that that's immediately where you go to, Donald.
That's right.
How did you make it through Youngstown State? No, seriously.
Hey,
right
you
away.
Make it how you make it.
Right away he goes to that. Steve Tasker joins us, longtime Bills special teams ace, perennial Pro Bowl performer from the NFL on CBS, and a graduate of Northwestern University in Chicago, which incredibly, Steve, after all these years, is in the NCAA basketball tournament for the first time ever. You know, it's an amazing accomplishment, but you really have to scratch your head and say, how the heck did that take that long?
Well, it's not hard to figure it out when you're, you know, you're playing in a conference with, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, and Illinois, State, and you know, Ohio State and Wisconsin. They got some pretty good hoops teams there, and they have for a long, long time. But that's great, man. You know, people don't realize Northwestern University is right on the North Shore of Chicago, right on the north border, and it's a Chicago school. And mm-hmm. when Northwestern does well, Chicago really jumps on board, and it's fun to see.
You were there at Northwestern, if I think during a bit when the football program started to come alive a little bit, right?
No, you were
there in the down years.
Yeah.
Denny Green was your coach, right?
Yeah, Denny was my coach.
But didn't things begin to pick up a little bit, or was that right after?
They went 0-34.
During your career?
No, they went 0-3 at the beginning of my career, which went 0-31, 0-32, 0-32, 0-33, and 0-34, which was the first three seasons of my career there. And then we broke the streak, and we ended up going 3-8 that year.
I'm sorry.
And it was the happiest 3-8 football banquet you'll ever go to. Yeah.
What was the problem back then at Northwestern?
It was recruiting, no question about it. It was hard to recruit there, and it was a tough academic institution, still is. Now you've got to have a 1,400. The average entrance is 1,400 on the SATs to get in, and that hasn't changed. They consider it an Ivy League school academically, and it's like you said, it's like Princeton. They cut no breaks for the student athletes.
Yeah. Do you watch Northwestern basketball?
I do not. I've been so busy of late traveling and doing some things that I haven't got to see any of the conference tournaments or anything. In my household, we're big KU fans.
Oh, there you
Kansas.
Go.
My wife's a Jayhawk graduate. Right. And of course we grew up there and they do have a good basketball team perennially. So they won the national championship in her career with Danny Manning and those guys.
Yeah.
So we've been fans ever since.
Did you at least text him
you
should have texted him when, you know, we were out at the combine and we were all in this restaurant watching Michigan play Northwestern. And, you know, he talks a lot of junk about Michigan because they've been on a run.
Support him.
And, well, he supports them, but he likes to talk about them. And Northwestern ended up winning at the end of the game on the long. He threw the ball like the lift.
Oh, I saw that.
The court.
It was like Aaron Rodgers.
It was the best.
I saw that
it was the best.
I saw that play.
You know why? It was so much better than just what happened on the court because right before it happened, Murph was like, oh, this game is over. They need a miracle. And then a miracle happened, and it was like, yes.
I will admit, it was pretty delicious.
Yeah.
That was very, very tasty and you did that to Michigan.
You know, one more thing about Northwestern basketball, their most prominent fan, other than you know, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know. Elaine.
Julia Louis. You saw the dance, the dance tweet?
Yeah, she's into it. Her son is a walk-on player in Northwestern. She's into it.
There you go, man.
Yeah. They play Vanderbilt in Salt Lake. Starts Thursday, as a matter of fact. It's kind of I said to my son when the brackets came up the other day, that's the SAT Bowl right there, Northwestern and Vanderbilt, right?
I'll put Northwestern in against a – Vanderbilt and the SATs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8-9s and pretty good. All right.
Yeah, it should be a good hoops game.
Will you be visiting any
I don't think so. The CBS crew coming in. I know some of the guys.
Yeah.
Like Vern Lundquist. I know Vern.
Jim Spanarkle?
Yeah, I know Vern. I've met Spanarkle, but some of the tech guys and the producer director guys, I know all of those guys. So I don't know if I probably will not, actually. I'll probably kind of stay away. We're actually leaving town on Saturday morning. We got another trip going. I've been traveling a bunch lately, and we got another one. So
lean-to's in the woods again?
Not this time. Not this time. This is going back to my hometown, visit the family.
Excellent.
My mom and dad and stuff.
All right. Steve Tasker in studio with us. You're welcome to join us and bring up whatever you'd like. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Steve, let's get you in on the topic du jour, and we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on out here for the last week or so, the last 7 or 8 days at One Bills Drive. Our Twitter poll deals with receivers, and the Bills have to try to find, you would think, a number two wide receiver. And what's the best avenue to try to find the number two receiver for the Bills? That's the topic of our Twitter poll that went up about an hour and a half ago. And right now, the results look like this for our Twitter poll. The best, where should the Bills find their number two wideout? Right now, 76% of you say draft one. 13% say find them in free agency. 8% say trade for him. 3% say already on the roster. We have about 1,400 votes in on that. You care to weigh in on any of that, Steve?
No, I am right in line with that. I mean, the draft has got to, you know, if you can get Mike Evans at the 10th pick, he's the guy. He's a number
Mike
one.
Williams,
Mike
Williams.
Yeah, Mike Williams. I'm sorry, Mike Williams. He's the number. He's a number one receiver. Big, strong, fast. He's big target. Great catch radius. He's disciplined. He came out of the same program that Sammy Watkins did, and Sammy came out extremely polished. And you got to think Williams is going to do the exact same. Plus, if you draft a guy who is a number one talented receiver with Sammy, it's just perfect for the first year or two of his career to get it together. And plus, let's face it, you know, if Sammy goes down again, you got a number one on your roster then. Doesn't go completely away. Plus, if you got Mike Williams on the other side of Sammy, the deep ball, I think, comes back to the team in a way that it kind of disappeared this last year. And that, to me, is one of Tyrod's strengths. He's got a great, accurate deep ball. We've all said that he kind of has some shortcomings in the intermediate passing game. That's fine. But he's a good deep ball thrower, and that's not an easy thing to do. With Sammy on one side, Mike Evans on the other, this team could hit the deep pass, and that would bring – and listen, when you're throwing the deep ball, your run game is opened up because they can't pack people around the line of scrimmage. I think it plays right into the strengths of the team.
And there are other targets there at number 10, the Western Michigan receiver. Donald has a favorite receiver as well, but I think we all kind of agree, especially – well, maybe don't agree, Steve. We were talking about how much money you can tie up in wide receivers. If you can draft one as opposed to free agency, get a rookie, get him in here on a rookie contract – then you can kind of play with those two, Sammy Watkins and this rookie, for a couple of years before you have to make some hard calls.
You could have them together for 4 or 5 years easily, and that's a great stretch. That's for the foreseeable future. And then by that time, your team will evolve into something else. I mean, it could evolve into a more possession type. Maybe get a different quarterback. Maybe or defense becomes the strength of the team like it was a few years ago. Right. That kind of thing. So you kind of at a position group, you can't plan past when your best guys are going to be around. Offensive line's a little different than that because you got five guys, and some of the tackles are interchangeable. The guard centers are interchangeable, so you can kind of monkey around with that roster. But when you get out where you got corners, you got wide receivers or safeties, you kind of have to line them up for maybe five, maybe a half dozen years when you're lucky.
Right.
Otherwise, you're kind of going every 2 years or 3 years, like we did with Robert Woods and Sammy.
Yep.
If the Bills decided to trade back to get more picks, would you like that? Or?
Well, if it works, yeah. But that's, they got to know what they're going to get. And that's some of the things I think that a good GM does. He doesn't make the trade unless he knows what's going to happen after that trade. You don't trade and hope.
Right.
You trade because you've got it, and that's something that remains to be seen. It's impossible for us to conjecture. But, yeah, if you can trade and it turns out better than it would have if you'd hang in there, or even if it would have – say, for instance, they stay at 10 and they get a guy like Mike Williams or the other guy, that's great. But what if they could have traded down, got an extra pick, and still gotten him at 15? That's when you start to, wow, we missed out on that. And that's what Doug Whaley's been living with Sammy. They say maybe you could have still gotten him if you hadn't traded up to number 3. Mm-hmm. So you got to live with that. But if you get a guy that can really play, it's easy to forget if you overpaid.
Steve Tasker in studio with us. Like to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Keanu in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hello, Keanu. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good.
All right. I had a question real quick, too, to be honest. One concerning a wide receiver I think might be cut soon in Eric Decker of the Jets. You see they released Brandon Marshall. Possibly could begin with an Eric Decker, maybe. What do you think? What do you guys think about bringing him in?
Eric Decker.
He's a great guy, great high-character guy, a good teammate. He's a solid number two receiver. He's a big target. Yes, if the Jets release Eric Decker, I think you're right. There's going to be a lot of teams stand in line to sign him. He's not going to be cheap. He would, in my opinion, for a team like Buffalo who's got Sammy Watkins, or a team like even like the Cleveland Browns who have Eric Pryor, a team where they have a solid number one, they're going to have to jump up pretty high to get him at a number two. He'll have to make Sanu kind of money, I think. But if you draft a guy, you can pay him way, way less than that. But I think Eric Decker – it's true. Eric Decker can really play, and there's no question the Bills would be among a lot of teams interested in him. if the Jets do release him.
Is he
going to
get cut?
I don't know. That's conjecture on Keanu's part. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But certainly there's, things like that happen, particularly on teams that are starting to cut salary cap.
Man, they cut so many people already.
Yeah, you wonder if it hadn't – probably would have happened already if he was going to get cut, right?
Well, I'll tell you, they did it in the last 2 years or 3 years of Rex Ryan's tenure in New York, they sliced a lot of payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that seems to be the way they do it. And I don't know whether it comes from ownership or Idzik, but or the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be cyclical for them. They give it a shot and then slice the payroll and try and rebuild.
They cut it and then spend it all and then have to cut it.
Spend it and cut it,
We're in studio with Steve Tasker. You're welcome to join us at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We will not limit the discussion to wide receivers for the Bills, Steve, because since you were last here, last Tuesday, there's been a lot going on here at One Bills Drive, starting with last Wednesday, the news of Tyrod Taylor's restructured contract. Any thoughts on that? What was your take on that?
I thought it was a brilliant move by the front office and Sean McDermott when they came to him and said, listen, we want you here, but and even Tyrod said, he goes, listen, he knows what a great spot this is for him. This is his team.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Tyrod 100%. It's tough to walk away when it's your team. You're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He could go someplace and no question he would have gotten paid and maybe he would have gotten more money. I don't know. Who cares? But I'll tell you this. He made a really wise, smart decision for his legacy in the NFL to stay right here and make it work because I'm with him. I believe this is a team that can win and get to the playoffs and do some damage with him taking snaps. I think it's brilliant on his part not only to come back but to redo the deal and get on board with the front office and put a team around him. I think it speaks a lot to what's inside the locker room with those guys, how much they like him and what he means to them. I think it says a lot about Sean McDermott and Doug Whaley being able to work together and find the absolute best scenario because, let's face it, we could not have drawn it up better from sitting here in a radio booth.
Right.
Better than they did. Not only did they not have to – they didn't lay that money out. They just restructured it. It helped them with the cap, helped Tyrod, helped their team. I mean, it could not have worked out better, and I think you got to take your hat off to all of them because it seems now when you look back on it, just as it was, Tyrod was never off the team.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all still on the same team, and they all did some things to work together to get better, and I think it's – I thought it was brilliant.
Tyrod left some money on the table, it would appear. Mike Jannetty, our spot track buddy, was in here last Friday. Said essentially he's basically down to a 2-year deal, and he gave up at least, he's going to make money here, but he didn't have to sign that contract. He gave up some money, left some money on the table, which says a little bit of something about Tyrod and his approach.
Absolutely. And I think, once again, he's betting on himself, and there's no problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. And also, at this scenario, he may have left money on the table, but here he's got a huge head start on what this team's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes someplace else, he drops back 2 years in his career, football-wise. He goes back to a new offense, new coaching staff, new whatever, new players, new system, and a new organization that's going to have to get to know him in the 2 years he's had here in Buffalo. Now, he's got a new coaching staff here and all that, but this is a spot where this locker room and this team knows exactly what they've got. They have built around him for 2 years, and I think it's leaving money on the table, I think, does more for him in the future than taking it now and taking his chances somewhere else.
That's the biggest thing. If you right now he left the money on the table, but he's helping his team bring a lot of weapons around him. And if he wins, ultimately he'll get paid in a couple years. Really, really get paid if he wins.
Right. Well, and he's smart enough to know $15 million bucks ain't not getting paid.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think rightfully so. He knows that this team is a piece or two away.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little depth. Certainly if they can stay healthy, they're one piece away. A number two receiver. That's it. If they stay healthy, they don't need to be deep. Their offensive line can go. So I just thought it was brilliant on Tyrod's part. Let's face it, if it goes here and it turns out to be a 2-year deal or even a 1-year deal and they jettison him, he's going to play someplace else. He's going to have a shot to play someplace else, and he'll pick a spot where they'll say, yeah, you can come in and compete. Or you can come in, you're going to be a backup to Phillip Rivers or Andrew Luck or somebody like that. And that, it's a long – illustrious career holding the clipboard in the NFL. You're gonna, you don't take the beating. You make seven figures easily. You know, make a handful of millions of dollars as a backup. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing for 15 years and having your shot at this, the prime of your career, and taking and shooting for it. I love the deal. I love the way Tyrod thinks about it. I love the way the team handled it. They've got to feel really good about it now. Now the question for the first time in the offseason isn't about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Now let's say, okay, now we got to make the right choices in the draft and the right guys in free agency and hope we hit. And we'll see.
A couple of calls here on this. Bill calling from Angola. Go ahead, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What I'm asking is if we upgrade our receivers and Tyrod still doesn't have quite the season we want him to have, will the Bills get rid of him?
I think, and this is Steve talking, you got a chance. We're going to be back at the same question. It's going to be a question they're going to have to answer, and there's also going to be this overriding question as always. Bill, they will if there's somebody better to hand the football to. If there's somebody better to put put under center, absolutely they will go away from Tyrod. That's always a possibility. And the fact that they gave him this deal doesn't change that at the end of this next season if it doesn't go the way the Bills want it or the way Tyrod wants it. That's always on the table. And you can say what you want. This will be his third year as the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. That's
about that time.
It's about that time to make that decision. And it could very well come down to it. But, yes, absolutely. They could get rid of him if it doesn't go well. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in the NFL.
And according to, again, Mike Giannitti on SpotTrack, who kind of went through the details of the contract with us, they can do that after 1 year without real significant penalty. Yeah, it's essentially a two-year deal now, but they could walk away from him after 1 year and wouldn't kill him in the cap. Again,
right.
Testament to the kind of deal they put together with him. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant on both sides. Tyrod's betting on himself. I love that about the player. He's thinking about the team and giving him a chance to put another piece or two around him in the offensive line and a wide receiver. There's no question one of those top guys in the draft is going to be should be available at number 10 with the other teams and what their needs are ahead of the Bills. A lot of defensive players that people are looking at in this draft that could be difference makers. And you got to like where the Bills sit right now as the number 10th overall pick and getting one of those top receivers and having a guy that automatically can be plugged in and will come out. And like I've said this for a long time, the receivers coming out of college now, especially the top flight receivers, they're polished. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been running pro-style offenses. They're running pro-style routes. And they're, they're getting a little bump now and then, so they've been exposed to that. They can find a guy that can play right away.
Back in the day, back in your day, Marv Levy used to say, it was hard to find a receiver to walk right in as a rookie and make a difference. Those days are gone now because of the way college football is played.
Yeah,
right?
It's a throwing league down there.
Yeah.
And they're getting, like I said, the bigger the NFL gets, the more people want to coach in the NFL, and the good coaches rise to the top, and that means they come up through the college ranks, and even good college pro coaches who, the staff gets fired, whatever, now they're coaching kids in college and giving them pro technique, pro practice habits, pro thought processes, the ability to read defenses, what to look for, all the nuances that goes with the elite level of play that comes with that receiver are getting down into the lower levels of football, and you can tell when they get drafted.
Steve Tasker, Bill's former special teamer and, of course, from the NFL on CBS in studio with us a couple of minutes here. You're welcome to join us at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Along with some of the signings, Steve, and we're going to get to some of the signings for the Bills and what they mean, the Bills lost some talent in free agency, including kind of a monster contract awarded to Stephon Gilmore by the Patriots. What do you think? Well, it doesn't seem like a Patriots move, does it?
They did it with Darrelle Revis a couple of years ago and won a world championship.
Yeah.
It turned into a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. They like when they've got – this is a team, notoriously. Here in Buffalo, we see, the Patriots are kind of referred to as the evil empire.
Sure.
But they do things right. And you look back over the course of the history of that franchise with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, when they've had that guy, the atomic bomb, on either side of the ball – they don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
They don't lose regular season games. They don't when Gronkowski and the other tight end,
Hernandez.
Hernandez. When they had two of those, when they had that atomic bomb on that side of the ball, they were really difficult to beat. When they had Randy Moss out there in 07, when they were scoring 9,000 points in the season, they were hard to beat. They almost went undefeated when they had that guy. When they had Darrell Revis, they had a guy out there who could lock somebody down on the offensive side of the – and they were so well coached, they can take everything else away. Mm-hmm. But if you've got one guy on either side of the ball that is dominant, that's a team and a philosophy over there in New England that's hard to beat. And they must see something in Gilmore that gives them the ability to know what they've got in him, and they think he can take somebody away. Even if he can only take the number two option away in a team's passing game, they can work with the rest. And that's, I think, when they see a guy like that on free agency and they think they can get him, I think that's, you can kind of see the writing on the wall with what their philosophy is going to be.
We were speculating, kind of hoping that that move, that signing, maybe signaled the beginning of the end for Brady anyway. Like the Patriots said, okay, we're not going to have Brady too much longer. We better shore up some other things on our roster. Are we reading too much into that?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't see his arc declining.
No.
His arc is not – I don't see Tom Brady declining. A lot of people may, and you can say, look at the first half of that Super Bowl and say, wow, he stunk and he's a terrible quarterback. Listen, you know, there are a lot of quarterbacks that never had a bad first half of a Super Bowl because they couldn't get there. Mm-hmm. He's been there six times. His arc is not going to drop. It's going to stop. He's going to decide, you know what, I got a wife and kids and I got a pile of cash and I don't have to do this anymore. He's going to stop rather than – be ushered out, I think. Although I've said this before too, it rarely ends well for the really great ones because that's one of the reasons they're great. They can't let go. Mm-hmm. In the off season, in the bad times, in the good times, they're still pounding and pushing hard. You know, so maybe he is going to be one of those guys that, like a Johnny Unitas, that goes out and can't throw the football in San Diego anymore. Or, you know, you name Joe Montana going to Kansas City, although he was still pretty good too. You know, guys like that. Yeah. I Joe Namath going to, you know, all those guys. You can go down the list.
Yeah.
I don't know that that'll happen with Tom Brady, but for now, no, I think they can lean on him as much as they want.
Now, they've made a lot of moves this offseason. They've also brought in Brandon Cooks, the receiver from New Orleans, a good receiver. We had a caller on yesterday, and I asked him, you know, like, who's the odd man out? They typically keep four receivers, maybe five. So one of those guys, if it's Edelman, Amendola, somebody has to be the odd man out. So
Or Hogan,
yeah. Who's it going to be?
I would say Amendola. I think Hogan makes him redundant. But that's just me. And plus, you know, you talk about and Murph, you know, if you're going to look at somebody who says, hey, maybe they're going to shore up certain things, or – I think maybe this Brandon Cooks is more of a signal to say, hey, we need some better guys for Tom to throw to because it's getting harder. Yeah. That may be the signal for that. We need a Randy Moss, you know. We need somebody out there who has a bigger catch radius than these guys are giving us because Tom's not as accurate as he once was. That would be more of a signal of that. But I think he's just a guy that they found. They like him. Mm-hmm. They know about him. And they got a place for him. I think that's a possibility to maybe they're saying, hey, let's give Tom some help in his later years. But they're going to keep on rolling. They got it going on.
We got a lot more to talk about with Steve. Let's squeeze in another phone call here before the break. Michael in Buffalo. Go ahead, Michael. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I don't know if it's more of a question than a statement, but Mr. Steve Tasker, I'm sure you know that Jim Kelly – he even took 2 years of a little bit of failure before he became, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterback that we know. And I think Tyrod Taylor made a good decision. I think the Bills made a good decision, and I can't wait for him to shine, you know.
Well, Mike, to tell you the truth, you're right. Jim, you know, 86 was a rough year for him. And coaching change when Marv came in late in 86 or halfway through 86. And then 87 was a strike-shortened year and with a new coaching staff and a new offense. But I think – and all of that kind of rolled into why Jim maybe sputtered in the first 2 years before in the third year they went 12-4. I think a bigger reason for the fact that Jim went – struggled in his first 2 years was because he was playing with bad players on his team. They were 2-14, 2-14 in the years before he got there for a reason. They had bad guys. They had bad players at key spots. That's why Jim struggled, and Jim knew it. He came in, and that's why Jim had a reputation for being angry and he'd outburst on the field. He was mad because he had guys who didn't, you know, who weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. And that contributed along with the other things that I just mentioned, the fact that, you know, coaching change and then the strike shortened year mm-hmm. was really for the first 2 years, I think, more of an issue for him not playing as well as he did later in his career than he did.
Look at the talent that was added in those early years, James Lofton, Thurman Thomas, Cornelius Bennett on the defense.
Andre emerged over those 2 years.
Yeah,
Andre came up
better,
and Andre got on the field.
Yeah,
Andre started getting on the field all the time.
Yeah.
Plus, they jettisoned guys, you know, that were there, and they brought in guys like James Lofton. They drafted Don Beebe.
Yeah, Beebe. Yeah.
And they were drafting wide receivers just about every year. You know, Brad Lamb. They, Al Edwards. Russell Copeland. I mean, they brought guys in constantly trying to find more and more weapons for Jim because, you know, they wanted to make sure they were deep at that spot.
That's why, I mean, when you look at Tyrod in this past season, you know, Sammy obviously wasn't on the field for half the season. And the rest of the guys went down, and they were bringing guys in off the streets, you know, and they still had a top 10 scoring offense, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully Sammy can stay on the field the entire season and you can bring more weapons. And if you have guys that can stay healthy, Tyrod Taylor can make plays, and his offense can be good. And if the defense, if they can shore up the defensive side of the ball, this team is a playoff team.
Yeah, I agree. I 2 years ago, they led the league in long balls, and they were good at it. And that was one of the catalysts for getting them to be the number one rushing team in the league, because teams had to have two safeties back there. They couldn't walk guys down in the box. And you're blocking 7-on-7. You got it, and with LeSean McCoy, and remember back then it was Carlos Williams, and then last year was Gillis. I mean, you got guys. It's a lot easier to run the football against a seven-man front. And when you got a guy like Sammy Watkins, and it was Robert Woods, or whoever, or, you know, Percy Harvin in the few games that he saw, and it would be Mike Evans or another young receiver, a big target. Yeah, that's problems for defense, and I think the deep ball would be right back to the centerpiece of the offense, and along with a power run game, and with a quarterback dropping back, throwing the deep ball, seven guys in the box dropping back, Tyrod runs for a first down about 4 or 5 times a game and slides. That's crushing that's an offense that turns into a ball control offense, not just because of the run game, but because they got the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I love that recipe. And I love because it plays to the strength of a guy who we know has deficiencies in other areas or has been criticized for his forget it. Forget that part.
Yeah.
You know?
Move to something else.
Yeah, move to something else. Let's do what we do good. And listen, that's what good coaches do. We're going to do what we do good, do well. And if you can stop us, you know, God bless you. But we're pretty good at what we do.
We got to get to a break, and we've got more with Steve coming up, including your phone calls for Steve Tasker, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. No politically incorrect calls, though, right? Is that what were we accused of being? Politically correct?
Politically correct. Yeah.
I've never been accused of that before in my life, about politics. We got more coming up. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back from One Bills Drive on a snowy day in Orchard Park. John Murphy, Donald Jones with our special Tuesday visitor. Steve Tasker comes by on Tuesdays. Really no problem with the snow out there, right? There's no big deal, an inch or two?
No.
Nothing.
Now, schools were closed, and I would think that if they had to do over again, some of them would have been open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not bad.
We can handle this kind of snow.
Yeah.
This wasn't Snowvember.
No way. No.
You know?
Tell Donald that. He's all – no, you handled this pretty well.
I was in four-wheel getting out of the driveway, but, roads are clear.
At least you guys didn't come out and your car wouldn't start. I did have that issue this morning.
And whose fault was that?
That was my fault. Yeah. You know, I left the light on in the car.
Oh, well, there you go.
At night.
Steve's with us for another 22 minutes or so, and you're welcome to join us at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call here from John. Hello, John. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, fellas. I was just calling and wanted to make a couple of comments. Number one, I'm going to disagree with what Donald said earlier about Ryan Groh. I would, for $5 million, a 2-year contract, I would sign Ryan Groh.
Right.
Jordan Mills, $2 million. And I think Ryan Groh's a better player than Jordan Mills. So
yeah.
I would go ahead and pick up that tender. And then I know you're talking today about wide receivers, and I might take a defensive player in that with that first pick. And I think there's a lot going to be a lot of good wide receivers in the second round with that 42nd pick. And I especially like Zay Jones and Chris Godwin from Penn State, Zay Jones from East Carolina. And I think we might be able to get them in the second round. And they may be, turn out to be better than Mike Williams and Corey Davis. So, and then one other thing regarding Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's there at number 10. We take him.
Deshaun.
28-2. The two national championship games. I don't care if he threw 11 interceptions this year. I would take Deshaun Jones. I'm
Watson.
Got my fingers crossed that Tyrod's the guy, but I think Deshaun Jones looks really good to me.
Okay, you mean John? You mean Deshaun Watson, right? Yeah,
Clemson quarterback.
Clemson quarterback. Yeah, it's not Deshaun Jones. Deshaun Watson.
Back to Ryan Groy's first point. You know, you're talking about a $5 million. Can you pick that up for a backup, a guy you know is going to be a backup? Yeah, you can, but, I mean.
The one thing about Groy, and you stand down there, and you, as you see, and the people who are watching the simulcast, you're seeing highlights of him on the offensive line practice. The thing that I noticed about him, first of all, he's a big, big body, a big body inside, which is, you know, always a plus because, you know, this generally speaking, big guys stay healthier because their bodies can absorb the impact and the abuse because they're just big. Mm-hmm. And he does fill up some space down inside. And when you get these guys, if you're running against – if you're going to have a team and a schedule on the horizon, you're not going to build it around a guy like this. But if you're going to play a lot of teams that are running the 3-4 alignment where they got that nose tackle that is like a, you know, Volkswagen – you need big bodies down inside there. So I'm with John, who the caller. Yeah, I mean, I as far as evaluating one guard over another on the right, I get you. You're right. If you believe it, hey, that's your belief. I couldn't watch those guys interiorly enough to make a call one way or the other. Right. But certainly they've got their reasons for doing it. And plus, I agree with you. The offensive line is never a place not to pay attention to. I in the off season, you got to get better, you got to get bigger, you got to get deeper somehow, some way, work for it. And I you never set the offensive line aside or believe that it's taken care of.
Mm-hmm. There is a good argument to be made for picking up the number on Ryan Groy, and it's made. Actually, we've been thinking about it, talking about it. I got a email from a frequent listener and correspondent, Mike Bowman. Sir, I think he's from Detroit. Who mentions a couple of things, including, you know, Groy at about $2.5 million. He says a bargain for a starter-level player who will be a backup. He talks about some of the other backups who are on the roster you could release. I mean, one of the good things about Groy is his versatility. Right. And we talked yesterday with Dukas, who insists he doesn't want to be a center. Groy can play center. He can play guard, maybe kick out and play a little tackle. The other thing, which I guess I had not considered, was Eric Wood, whose contract is one year left to go, and Groy is the heir apparent at center if Eric Wood gets away. And, you know, I think we all agree that Eric Wood deserves to be the starting center this year. But if you're looking ahead a little bit, you know, maybe backstopping yourself a little bit.
If he can play, you sign him up for as long as you can at $2.5 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you sign him to a five-year deal, and you guarantee half of it because that is a bargain for a starter – at that spot. I mean, you got guys making $8 million.
Even if he's not, even if he's a starter in waiting.
If he's a starter in waiting, yeah. I mean, he's not going to wait very long because, as you've seen, I mean, he's going to be plugged in at some point during the season. He's going to have to take some snaps.
Somebody will get banged up. Yeah.
And if somebody gets banged up. And plus, listen, who cares? Because if you don't pick it up, he'll end up playing for the Jets. He'll end up playing for Miami. He'll end up playing for New England against you because everybody needs guys like that. If you got a guy that is a quality starter and you believe he is – if he goes anywhere else, he's going to start, you line him up for as many years as you can, as cheap as you can, make sure he goes nowhere.
There's thoughts on this from a caller. Gary is on the line with us. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Hey, John. How you guys doing?
Okay.
Good.
Hey, the first thing I'd like to say is Steve Tasker, you were one of my favorite players when you played.
Thanks. I was my favorite player, too.
What? About the offensive line, if you guys don't mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right tackle, I know they signed Mills, but and also Eric Wood. What's his health status? And what about his contract? You know, if we can match Roy, would it be worth letting Eric Wood go? Because I think Roy has a future.
Well, there you go. I know a lot of people, we just said that. I mean, Eric Wood's got one more year.
He's 30 years old.
He's 30.
Into the last year of his deal, the 2018 is voidable for Eric Wood. That's something to think about.
And, I agree with you.
Not that Roy's going to come in and start ahead of him. But
no, but I like I said, if he does come in and start ahead of him, wouldn't it be nice to have him on a contract for 5 years where mm-hmm. for, you know, bottom dollar? I mean, mm-hmm. that would be a way to go. Sign him to a long-term deal as a backup before you have to pay him like a starter. You can, you know, turn him loose and spend the money elsewhere to help him.
You know, these are decisions that, like the teams that people always, especially right now with the Patriots and teams like that are making the moves that they're making, they make moves like that are, like, thought out years in advance. You know, like, we'll sign this guy right now knowing at some point we're going to release the guy who's starting right now. And he's going to be that guy, and we get him at bottom dollar. And then when he wants to go and get paid, you can go get paid. But we're going to let you go. Like, they make those types of moves where they're thinking 5 years ahead of time. And that's why they're able to just keep making the right decisions.
All of this presupposes that the Bills have enough cap room to do what, you know, a couple of callers suggest in an email correspondent, you know. And it's they got to match the offer sheet. It's worth $5 million, $3.5 guaranteed. And they have, I think, about a week or so to do it. So I'm sure they're thinking hard about it. You know, mm-hmm. this is not an easy thing. That's why they put the tag on him. That's why they tendered him an offer.
I agree. I think it's a way to get to find out what other teams think about him, and also a way for them to say, if they know what other teams think about him, to prove it to the player and his agent. Say, listen, we ain't paying you $5 million a year.
Yeah.
And go, and that's, you know, say, let's just find out. Here you go. And that's one way to do things as well. It's almost like going to arbitration.
Right. A couple of minutes left with Steve. We'll take a break. Come back for that. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back with a couple of minutes with Steve Tasker, John Murphy, Donald Jones in snowy Orchard Park, New York. This is nothing, though, folks. I mean, those of you watching on MSG on the simulcast can see a live shot of New Era Field from the end zone camera looking to the east, that would be the tunnel end of the stadium. Yeah, it's snowing. It's nothing we can't handle, right? Donald, you're all right with that?
We love it here.
It's all right. I mean, it's a little snowy
here.
Listen, right?
We don't have to apologize for being happy.
Right, we made it here.
We like it here.
Yeah.
The city is so much more than a snow storms and
mm-hmm. Tell that to my partner here, would you please?
It is.
He's telling me it's a handicap.
Listen, it's so much more
than just. No one wants to come to Buffalo.
It's so much. The city's so much more than snowstorms, bad hockey, and bad football. That's what people think, right?
You've got to be more politically correct than that.
Your team doesn't make the playoffs. Your hockey team, they were going to rebuild, and now they've stalled.
I don't think that's politically correct.
You know, right. But listen, I make fun of Buffalo. I tell people this. I make fun of Buffalo wherever I go because it keeps the riffraff out of our town.
Hey, here's an issue that came up, and we only have a few minutes. I'm sorry we took so long to get to it. Tight end Jordan Cameron played with the Browns, played with the Dolphins, announced he's retired last week. 4 concussions in 6 seasons. And he was asked, you know, do you love football? His response, I don't think a lot of these guys love football, to be honest, he said. A lot of them don't. You play for other reasons, and every guy has their own reason. And he says, who really likes to get hit in 10-degree weather by a 280-pound person? Really, no one likes that. Do you love football? He said, I couldn't stand when people ask me that. What do you think of that, guys?
It's a question that has become commonplace at draft interviews because here's the thing. You want players who love the game because most of these young players coming out, let's face it, they want to be pro athletes. They want the money. They want the fame. They want to be the guy on the commercial. And that's why they want the money. They want to help their family. They want a career. They don't have anything else they want to do. And because they like working out, they like competing, that kind of stuff. But they want to play football because of the reward that it gets them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I speak to people and to kids and to corporations all the time, and my message is, listen, you got to do what you do because you want to be great at it. The great ones do what they do because they want to be great. All the money and all the fame and all that stuff comes to those people who want to be great, who do what they do to be great. The great players are great because that's their goal, to be a great football player. It's not to be the highest paid football player. It's not to be the guy on the most commercials. It's not to be the guy, all of that that's on TV all the time. They want to be the best player at their position of all time. Those are the guys that also have all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, you look at Carlos Williams of the Buffalo Bills. His goal was to get in the NFL. He got there. Once he got here, that motivation's gone. There ain't nothing more to play for.
Right.
There's no reason to go out and work out all off season. There's no reason to sacrifice your time and your effort to eat right, to do all the stuff that's no fun, because he's already made it. He's here. Well, that's why he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 100 guys every year that are exactly like that. It's not because they love the game. It's because they want something the game can give them.
What percentage, both of you should answer, both former players, what percentage of teammates you were with, and we're talking about kind of two different eras here, what percentage really loved football?
See, in my generation, you know, like back when he was playing, free agency was like just starting up, right? Like now you have free agency where guys are going to get the money.
Yeah.
You know, guys understand that, you know, this is a business and they want to go get paid. They want to get paid. And so you have more guys coming out now, a lot of the younger players that are playing to get that second check, you know, and that second, that big payday.
The
and then once
contract,
they get, yeah, that second contract. And it sucks that it's like that, but, you know, that's just when you grow up, you've been playing this thing since Pop Warner, since Little League. It's fun, but then once you get to high school, you start to see, like, man, private schools are recruiting you. It's starting to become a business. Then you get to college, you see how much money is being made at that level. And then when you get here, it's like everybody's making money. I want to get paid too, you know. So you have that always in your mind. You have some guys that, like you said, guys are playing for the reward that it that you know the things that
so
comes with it.
0% love it or 10%?
Oh no, there's some.
Nah, there's
but you
there's
can
some.
Point. Yeah, you can point
you can
to the guys.
You can
see
it.
The guys
yeah.
that do it. Peyton Manning, you think he was doing it for the cash? He got paid better than anybody. But he, you know what? That
made
guy,
more commercials,
you know what? Never. He never. There was no stone unturned in his preparation. He worked hard, thought hard, prepared hard.
One guy that comes to mind that people really had this perception of him is Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch loved to play the game. Like
yeah.
he got paid a lot of money, mm-hmm. but he loved to play football.
You know, yeah.
like you can see the love for football with him out there. He always was having fun on the field.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there's other guys. I can go down Jerry Rice, Walter Payton. You know, all those. Tom Brady's that way. I mean, you know, he's that way. There are guys. Ray Lewis was mm-hmm. maybe the greatest of all time. I mean, he was maybe the. He is, to me, is the best defensive player and leader of all time.
Right.
Because of that, because of his desire to be the best there ever was and to not tolerate guys on his team who didn't feel the same way. He elevated everybody.
Right.
So there are guys out there who are like that, and they stand out. J.J. Watt, he's a crazy guy. He, you know, he's sleeping on a mattress in his buddy's house at Wisconsin so he can work out. You know, and a guy who signs a nine-figure deal.
But, you know, it's getting worse.
You know, it's
getting worse.
It's crazy. But it is, yeah. But I think the higher that percentage goes, the more turnover there is in the league because those guys don't last.
Yeah.
The game is too physically demanding. And once you let up on the gas pedal, you're done.
Really good issue. We're going to – Don and I talk more about this as we move through. Steve, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for
having
me.
Hope you make it home safely. It's terrible. No, it's not really bad out there.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
You'll make it home. This is a guy who slept in a lean-to in the woods last week.
He can have that. I don't
you
know
can
what.
Pull over to the side. You can pull to the side
he
of the road.
He can survive in his car, right?
Yeah.
I can make it home from here.
Steve Tasker. Steve Tasker joining us in studio. We got an hour to go. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from snowy One Bills Drive, where no new activity on the free agent market for the Buffalo Bills. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that they had signed another wide receiver, Jeremy Butler, signed to a contract. He is a product of Tennessee Martin University. Came into the league as an undrafted free agent with the Baltimore Ravens in 2014. Played three seasons in the league. Appeared in 12 games in his NFL career. 33 catches, 374 yards. He's also spent time with Tampa Bay, the Jets, and San Diego. Jeremy Butler, 6'2", 213-pounder. He is a new wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills roster, the second wide receiver signed by the Bills in free agency to go along with Corey Brown. The Bills may lose offensive lineman Ryan Groy to an offer sheet. He agreed to an offer sheet put before him by the Los Angeles Rams last night, a two-year sheet worth $5 million reportedly, $3.5 million guaranteed. The Bills gave Groy an original round tender. They would not be entitled to draft compensation if they elect not to match, since Groy himself was undrafted. Bills have 5 days to decide whether to match the offer sheet. Around the National Football League, the Seattle Seahawks have signed veteran running back Eddie Lacy to a one-year deal. No terms were announced, but it is reportedly worth $5.5 million with $3 million guaranteed. The New Orleans Saints meeting with Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler on Thursday of this week, according to head coach Sean Payton. Butler, a restricted free agent, the Patriots do have the right to match any offer that he might get, a signed offer sheet, and that would be in the form of a first-round draft pick if they do not match the offer. Last night, Cordarrelle Patterson reached agreement on the deal with the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders. Patterson, 25 years of age, reportedly a two-year deal that can be voided to one. Sabres headed out west. They are out west. They take on the San Jose Sharks tonight in San Jose at 10:30. Sabres have an 11-game point streak going against San Jose. 10 wins and a tie dating back to 2010. And travel issues for some of the NCAA basketball teams to make some adjustments, but they are in town, including the defending national champions of Villanova Wildcats, who got here yesterday. Bills head coach Sean McDermott had a little meet and greet with Jay Wright, the head coach of Villanova. The Philadelphia connection exists. And Donald, the tournament, people are getting excited about it. In fact, the four games coming up on Thursday, still tickets available for those games, believe it or not. I know some people are surprised by that.
Yeah, some people are surprised by that. I think it's going to be some good games to get to, you know. So if you want to get out there, I mean, how often does this come around where you can actually go to see tournament games?
3 years ago and 3 or 4 years before that. They've been here a couple
times. So every 3 years, right?
Yeah, but it's great. And the cool part is, for many of us, 8 different basketball programs, 8 different fan bases. The lineup, Notre Dame and Princeton on Thursday at 12:15. West Virginia and Bucknell follow that. Then Villanova and the winner of tonight's game between Mount St. Mary's and UNO. And then it's Wisconsin and Georgia Tech, the late game on Thursday night. Tickets available online, NCAA.com. Men's basketball tickets.
Just think about it like this. If in a place like Buffalo where you don't have big-time college basketball, you don't have a pro team here, you know, this is like your only chance to actually go and see teams like Notre Dame and Villanova and West Virginia, Wisconsin, Virginia Tech, these teams that are always up there at the top or usually around the top of NCAA basketball. So, yeah, if you can get out there to go see it, go see it.
It's a good lineup and good basketball coming up on Thursday. We're talking football for the most part here, and you're welcome to join us, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. I think we're all in agreement the Bills need a second wide receiver. Where should that second wide receiver come from? That is the topic of our Twitter poll. It's been up now for a couple of hours. We've got almost 1,800 votes in. Where should the Bills find their number two wideout? 77% of you say go to the draft. 13% say look to free agency. 8% say make a trade. 2%, that's all, say the number two wideout is already on the roster. Let's hear from you about that. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Lines are open. Call here from Jim in Amherst. Hi, Jim. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Season ticket holder for 47 years.
Good for you.
I really wanted to ask Steve. I know Marv Levy used to say that one of his greatest assets was his ability to pick the coaches around him. And I wondered what Steve thought or what you guys think of the coaching staff that our new coach is selected.
That's a good question. I'm sorry, you know, Steve had to run, and we thank him for coming in. But, yeah, that really – and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Donald, in the initial stages of Sean McDermott's tenure, probably the most – important thing that the head coach does is pick his staff. Would you agree?
I think it's definitely the most important thing. And when you look at you know, the staffs that have been here in the past, you look at the staff now, you look at a guy who has he's a rookie head coach. You need to have guys around you who have done it all, who have been in the playoffs, maybe been to the Super Bowl, maybe won a Super Bowl or lost a Super Bowl. I mean, you need all of that. So you have different guys that you can lean on in different situations, and you take that input from all of those guys. Ultimately, it's your decision on everything that happens, and you have to make sure that those guys understand that. But it's great to have guys that have been through everything that you can lean on and ask different questions.
There's a lot of experience on the staff, and it starts obviously with the coordinators, Rick Dennison and Leslie Frazier, but even down the line a little bit, when you look at some of the guys, Mike Waffle, the defensive line coach, has been around the league for a long, long time. Juan Castillo, offensive line and run game coordinator. Gil Bird, coaching defensive backs.
Yep.
I guess, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see how it works out, but certainly in terms of experience and old hands at the at NFL coaching, the Bills have that in excess almost on the staff.
I think they do. Now they just got to go out there and win, you know. Ultimately, that's what coaches are judged on, if you win or if you lose, you know. But I think right now he's made the right steps in the very beginning to get the right staff around him. It seems like they're making the right steps in free agency thus far. The next step is the draft. Well, free agency is going to continue. The next step is the draft. And then, you know, you have mini camps and training camp, and now you got to lay it all out there on the field, you know. But everything thus far has been done the right way.
Here's Jeff in Jamestown. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. I got two questions. My first question is about Ryan Groy and Eric Wood. Now, Groy played really well in a backup, and I noticed he probably maybe only had one penalty, and he could play center, guard, maybe tackle. How old? Well, I know he's 30, Wood, but he's got three major injuries. What is his current salary, and would it be if we cut him and put Groy at center? How would that work out? And my second question is, if the Bills were looking at both the top receivers in the first round, who do you think they would pick? I personally like the guy in Western Michigan because I think he's a better route runner, better hands, and I think he's a better deep threat. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay.
So, you know, you talked about Ryan Groy first.
Yeah.
And Eric Wood.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have Eric Wood's contract.
I do, via SpotTrack. It's a cap hit this year of $7.5 million. If they cut him, the $4.3 million goes to, dead cap. Look, there's no reason to cut Eric Wood. Yeah, he's had the surgery. He's going to be 31. He's in his contract year. I think he has established a fairly high level to play over the years. So as much as you'd hate to lose Ryan Groy if it goes that way, let's not be rash about this. You know, I think – Eric Wood, Ryan Groy, who would you rather line up and play with? I'd rather line up with Eric Wood if they're playing tomorrow, to tell you the truth.
I mean,
I don't know how you feel.
For me, I guess because I played, nothing shocked me, you know. I remember
I'm not saying it won't happen, but.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely would like to line up with Eric Wood, a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl, a guy who's widely regarded as one of the best centers in the game. But once again, it wouldn't shock me if they made that move because – you know, the business side of things and trying to free up money, regardless if you have $4 million in dead money, you know, there's still another $3 in cap space that you have right there to work with, you know. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me. I remember when I was playing here and they ended up, you know, letting Lee Evans go and making me the starter, and everybody was like, wow, I can't believe they just did that. And, you know, ultimately, you know, in that year in camp, I was doing exactly what Lee was doing on the field, but I was making a lot less money. And so they made a business decision. So if they did this with Eric Wood, it would be a total business decision. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me if it did.
Did that shock you when they cut Lee Evans? It was
no, it didn't.
Early, midway through preseason, right?
Yeah, it was. Lee was telling me the entire time what was about to happen. He started to give me, like, different warnings, like, hey, you know, you might get some more playing time. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he started to act different, even around the coaches and everybody. Like, he, you know, he knew it was coming to an end at some point, and he was looking other places. And then one day he just came out and told me, like, oh, yeah, I think they're going to be releasing me soon.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
You know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
What's happening.
Here is Pat calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I was wondering about Listonby. Whatever happened to him? I know he was injured last year, but, I mean – that's a guy we haven't even really got a chance to see yet.
No, nobody's seen him. Still recovering. You guys had him on the show, I believe, when I was gone after the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, we had him on the show that week.
What's his status?
You know, he said he feels like he'll be ready for a training camp. He said during mini camps he'll probably be on the sideline doing some running, but he won't be able to really be on the field full go until training camp, you know. So, you know, it's the mystery is out there on Listen B. Can he play receiver in this league or not? You know, we know how fast he is, how fast he's been in the past. But then with the injury, is he still going to be that fast, number one? Number two, does that translate now with a full year off? He's going to be a rookie. Does that translate to playing receiver in this league? The mystery is out there. It's going to be interesting to see when training camp comes around and he can actually be on the field playing.
Thanks very much for your call. We'll move through a couple of calls here and go to Tom in Buffalo. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with us.
Thanks, John.
Sure. And
Don. Question about the linebacking. Where are they at linebacker? It doesn't look like Zach Brown's coming back. I know you mentioned that they could use his speed at linebacker. Do they have that? And where do you see them going at linebacker? And one quick thing here, John. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Celebrate your birthday with a really smart guy and Albert Einstein. And a
That's
really
right.
guy and Billy Crystal.
Oh, I never knew Billy Crystal was born today. I knew Albert Einstein was. We're kindred spirits, kind of.
There you go.
Thanks. Linebacker. Do they need more at linebacker?
Well, they definitely need a will linebacker, a weak side guy, a guy with speed, a guy who can cover. That's something that they're going to have to address here soon, whether it's in free agency, I don't know, whether it's in the draft, I don't know. Probably both, you know. It's something that they really have to address, and they need to get it. They need to really get it, that whole situation locked down, because that's a position in this defense that is a need. It's a must to have a solid, fast linebacker who can go sideline to sideline, who can drop out in the coverage. They haven't gotten that guy yet. Who knows what's going to happen with Zach Brown? You know, he still hasn't been signed, and we haven't heard anything about teams that are bringing him in on visits or anything like that. You know, so as we talked about yesterday, the longer this thing goes on, the more leverage teams have against these players. You know, the more they can say, listen, you haven't been brought in. Nobody's brought you in on a visit yet. So, you know, we don't know what you feel like you should get. This is what we feel like you should get. Maybe we can bring you back in on a one-year deal, and he'll have to prove himself again. It's just – that's another mystery. What's going to happen with Zach Brown? I don't know.
You know, we talked about this a little bit, and I agree with you about the loss of leverage. The fact that no one is talking about Zach Brown means a lot. So maybe there's a price point that the Bills are interested. But I also – and I don't know if you share – I get the feeling that maybe he doesn't figure in what the Bills want to do as regardless of the position fit, that they want to maybe do better at that position. So I don't know if I'd look for him with the Buffalo Bills, Zach Brown. And, boy, eventually you think they'd get to his price point, right?
Eventually,
in fact, I saw something you know how we have the monitors in the other room in our office going without sound this morning because we're locked down to the instigators. But on the other monitor, there was an ESPN report that had best remaining free agents. And finally, I saw Zach Brown's name mentioned as one guy out there that people might want to take a look at. So we could be approaching that.
I think once again, what are we, 5 days in now?
Yeah.
to free agency?
Right? Yeah.
So we're talking about as time moves on, but we're like not even a full week into free agency yet. Somebody's going to sign him. If it's not the Bills, somebody's going to bring him in. You're going to see him go on a visit soon. You can't just overlook a guy like that. I'm talking about every team out there overlook a guy that had that type of production, a guy that was in the Pro Bowl last year. You know, so somebody he's going to end up somewhere. He's going to be playing, and it'll be interesting to see where he ends up and how long it really takes for him to get signed.
Here's a call from Luke in Silver Creek. Hello, Luke. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to bring up, like, two names. I'm thinking Jabril Peppers at 10 and maybe even trading down to get Christian McCaffrey to be that number two later in the first round.
Oh, man.
what happened?
So Jabril Peppers at 10, you know, that's something you see different conflicting reports on where he'll end up going. Is he talented? Yeah. Can he be the number 10 pick here to the Bills?
It's funny because I saw – a couple of things on Jabril Peppers. Somebody, I think it was Bucky Brooks, had him at like top 10, 7 or 8. And most people put him down towards the bottom of the first round.
Yeah, right. So because it's the biggest thing is you don't know where he's going to play, you know. And he hasn't been a guy who you could say this guy is like a surefire safety. We talk about that with Micah Hyde, a guy who's very versatile. And it's good to have those guys on your team. But when you take Jabril Peppers at 10 and not really know where he's going to play, I mean, it's – that's tough.
I don't know.
But he's a talent, though. He's definitely a talent. So
McCaffrey, second round, running back, not a need position for the Bills.
Right. You know, he's a second. First of all, he's a running back, so he wouldn't be your number two wide receiver.
Is that what he said? Okay.
Yeah, he said, you know, take him to be your number two.
Oh, no.
So
no. Right?
So, you know, he's a definite running back, and he, I would think probably later in the first round of the draft or round two, he's going to go. And he's a guy that you're going to line up at running back, probably third down more situations to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a guy who's going to help out in your return game. He's not a guy who is going to – you're going to pound him up in there, right? So you see the guys that are, they're talking about going in the first half of the first round are guys that are actually like, you know, you can pound them up in right. there and they can be true running backs. McCaffrey right. is a guy who – he's a gadget guy.
Right.
You know, like you can put him in the slot. He can catch the ball for you. He can help you out in the return game. Do you take a guy that high that's not a like a surefire running back?
Right. No, I wouldn't. Pat calling from Pittsford. Hello, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Murph. Donald, how are you?
Good. Great.
What are the Bills going to do to improve their run defense since Miami and Pittsburgh made them look really bad last year?
Yeah, they sure did.
I'll talk to you.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
They definitely made them look bad last year.
You know, I was thinking about this, and Steve Tasker just left last hour with us, and we were talking, and Steve is more optimistic, I would say, than you and I about mm-hmm. the upcoming season at this very early stage because there's a lot of pieces still in place.
Right.
But when I think about what has to get better, and I think we're in agreement on this, I don't think about the offense so much as I do the defense. And, Pat, just the issue you described, what's going to get better defensively. And I got to the one thing, and I've said this on the show before, the scheme, I believe, is going to make a difference here. The Sean McDermott's scheme, I think, is going to be simpler. I think it's going to be better suited to the talent. And I think it's going to be coached up a lot more and a lot more effectively than the defense was coached up the last 2 years. So that would be a way I would think that the defense will get better against the run. You know, you'd have to think Reggie Ragland, if healthy, which he should be, is going to have something to say about Buffalo's run defense, right? That's his forte.
Yeah, I think
that's
know,
the way I would
the
look
scheme,
at it.
The scheme is one thing. The way it's going to be coached up, it's not going to be crazy confusion out there, I don't think. It's going to be simple. Guys are going to line up and play what they play, right, especially up front. The biggest thing is – Marcell Dareus, if he can be healthy for a full season and play like we know he can play, he is that guy that shuts that run game down in the middle. And we know how quick Kyle is, but you need Marcell to be Marcell Dareus. If he can be Marcell Dareus that we all want him and we all know he can be, you know, that helps to shore up your run defense.
He needs to play.
Exactly.
Can't miss half a season.
Right.
He's one of the highest paid player on the roster, arguably the best, most talented player on the roster.
Right.
Needs to play.
He needs to
more
play.
Than half a season.
So, you know, if you have him playing and playing to his highest level of, you know, his ability, well, it should shore up your run game. It really should. And you get, like you said, you get Reggie Preston in there in the middle, you find another linebacker. I mean, your run game should be okay, but you need Marcell in the middle because he's the big man that really shuts all that stuff down.
Let's take one more phone call before we move on to a couple of other things. Logan calling from Buffalo. Hello, Logan. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to know what you guys have on opinions of what they're going to take for the draft and see if Deshaun Watson's still in the question.
Deshaun Watson, man, once again, he's another player that's conflicting reports. Nobody really knows where he's going to – people think he's going to end up going in the top 10. But then you have people that have him at the bottom of the first round, right? So you don't know where he's going to go. I don't think that the Bills should take him at number 10. Nor do I think they will take him at number 10 when they only have 6 picks. I think that they're probably going to look somewhere else where they really have a need to take at that 10th pick if they don't trade down.
I lied. One more call here. Charlie from Batavia. Hello, Charlie.
Yes, I have a question. Do you foresee the Bills looking into a veteran backup quarterback? I know with Tyrod and the rookie quarterback from last year, it would appear it might be a smart move for to bring somebody in. If you could just respond, I'll hang up. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. I would look for that, and I don't know who it is. The list of available veterans right now is not very impressive, the free agents who are out there. But I think they probably want to get 4 quarterbacks in here eventually, get work for Cardell, obviously work for Tyrod, maybe draft a rookie and get a veteran. I would look for that. I don't know who it is though, because the list is very,
they need a veteran.
Yeah.
They need a veteran. I mean, you're talking about Tyrod as your starter. You're talking about Cardell right now, the only person that's on the roster as your backup, a guy that, you know, has played one game. Well, a quarter of a game in the NFL, you know. So if Tyrod Taylor was to go down, Well, you don't have anybody behind him. So you need to have a veteran guy in there who can help to groom Cardell. If Cardell is your guy down the road, you need help really grooming him. Plus, you just need to have a veteran backup that knows what he's doing back there, just in case Tyrod goes down.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got more things to talk about, including I want to get back to that Jordan Cameron thing. I sense you have something else to say about that. I kind of rushed you in the last hour. So
no, that's good.
We're going to get Jordan Cameron thoughts on Donald Jones about how a lot of guys, his quote, a lot of guys don't really love this game, talking about NFL football. We'll get to more of your phone calls, talk more about what the Bills have done in free agency, obviously, and where they get their number two receiver from. All of that coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back here for another half hour or so, John Murphy and Donald Jones coming to you live from One Bills Drive and from snowy Orchard Park. We're all doing fine here. Don't worry about us. You're going to make it home, Donald, as long as your car starts.
Yeah. No, it's going to start going home. It just didn't start this morning coming in.
Hey, our Twitter poll is up. We got a few minutes left. Let's start with that at this juncture. Of course, the Bills need a number two receiver. Where does that come from? Most of you think it's going to be the draft. I do, too. But you can weigh in if you'd like. Where should the Bills find their number two wide receiver? 1,800 votes in. 77% of you say the draft. 13% say free agency. 8% say trade. 2% say that number two wideout might already be on the roster. An answer that apparently is ruffling feathers out there based on the Twitterverse. I mean, Corey Brown. I wouldn't vote for that. I don't think the number two wideout's on the roster. I hope they can do better. But Corey Brown has been added to the roster. And last night they added another wide receiver.
Yeah, no.
Jeremy Butler. Look, I don't think either one of them are number two.
I mean, they're
– But Des Lewis on the roster still, right?
Yeah.
Again,
no.
Yeah. I'm not advocating that. We throw it out there. If you don't want to vote for it, don't. I don't think it's the case.
I don't think it's the case. I don't think the number two is on this roster.
I don't either.
I think they're still looking in free agency and in the draft. And they're waiting to get the – if it's going to be through free agency, they're trying to get the guy at their price. And they're still going to end up drafting one. I still think that even if they bring a guy in through free agency, they're still going to draft one to be – at least compete for that number two spot. One guy's going to be number two. One guy's going to be number three.
One more call on this, and then we'll get into a couple other things. Manny calling from Hamburg. Hello, Manny. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Hi, Don.
Hi.
I just have two things I'd like to talk. First one, I disagree with Donald about the quarterback situation. I'm very happy with Tyrod. I think, barring injury, he'll be there for another year or two. And meanwhile, Cardale Jones will be getting better and better. And then I'd like to see us draft somebody like Chad Kelly, maybe in the fifth or sixth round. And I think we would have the quarterback situation in great shape for the next decade. Just watch and see what they would do. The other thing I'd like to mention is, last 2 years, the quality of our running plays have been excellent. They were fun to watch. It was like watching Lombardi create these running plays. But our passing plays look kind of vanilla, not very intricate. They were streaks and post patterns. It wasn't anything complicated. And I'm wondering if that has something to do with how not good Tyrod was supposed to have been. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Interesting, Manny. Thank you.
You know, get to the quarterback situation.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, for me, if you have Tyrod Taylor, you have Cardale on the roster, you need to have a veteran. I mean, for me, it makes sense to have Tyrod Taylor, Cardale Jones, and Chad Kelly. It just doesn't make sense. You need to have veteran presence in that room, you know, and you need to have a guy who has done it, a guy who has won games in this league just in case Tyrod Taylor was to go down. You know, this is football. Guys get hurt. Plus, you know Tyrod Taylor likes to run the ball. So he has a higher percentage of, you know, higher probability of getting hurt than other quarterbacks. So you need to have a guy behind him that has done it in this league, has won a couple of games, just in case he has to step in and win you a couple of games throughout the course of the season. That's how I look at the quarterback room. That's how it should be.
I know how Doug Whaley feels about backup quarterbacks because I've heard him say it. I've talked to him about it. He thinks a backup, if he has to play an extended period of time, should be able to go 500, keep you alive, keep your head barely above water. I don't know that anyone could say with certainty that Cardale Jones or a rookie, whether it's Chad Kelly or somebody else, would get you to 500 football. I just don't think that would happen. So I know that's what they strive for. We've talked about it. The list of free agent quarterbacks is very, very unimpressive. But
right.
I mean, it's we'll definitely see. There are trade opportunities. Maybe they're going to open up.
How many teams really have, like?
Oh, we've gone through this. Have good, capable backup quarterbacks.
Backups, yeah, like
I'm telling you, people didn't want to hear it. EJ was, you know, among the top 10 backup quarterbacks in the league the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah.
And, we EJ's got, you know, some issues. We know that. But they're just hard to find.
The only team with, like, I guess a decent situation at backup quarterback is the Dallas Cowboys, you know, and having Tony Romo. If they keep Tony Romo, and we talked about this, it doesn't even – like, they could keep him on the roster, and they have the best quarterback room in the league because you have Dak Prescott as your starter, Tony Romo as your backup. He's just waiting in the wings to win you a game or two. And you know he can come in and win for you, right? So, I mean, every other team out there does not have that type of situation.
Hey, let me get you to Manny's second point about the design of the Buffalo passing offense. And there's something there, I think, Donald, and, of course, you, with your playing experience, might know it. There seems – look, Tyrod's got limitations. We're not dismissing that. But there seems to be maybe a different, if not better, kind of design for the offense to – and we anticipate there will be a different offense with Rick Dennison here, but to get the ball to the receivers maybe in stride and not so much the hook patterns and the outs and the quick ins, right? There's got to be a different way. Maybe you don't have to do it totally or completely, but at least a different look to what they can do in the passing game on offense. No,
they definitely want to get the ball down the field in that offense. That play action, they want to be able to get the ball down the field. Now, that's not just deep go patterns like everybody thinks. You're talking about posts. You're talking about deep overs, you know, deep in route, you know, so like a 20-yard in cut, 15-yard in cut, that goes off of a play action. That's what they're trying to get done. Yes, you need to be able to get the ball to these guys in stride so that they can keep on going. The hooks, the hitches, curls, you know, those are the things that you need to be able to get done when you need a first down. You can run it right at the sticks.
Right.
Everything else, you want to go down the field. And you heard Steve say it, like, we do what we do best. And Tyrod Taylor can throw the ball down the field a lot better than he can do short and intermediate game. He needs to improve in that game, obviously, but he needs to be able to get the ball down the field and need to have receivers that can get down the field and catch the ball for him.
Call from Ron in Hamburg. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking me.
Sure.
I know this sounds crazy, and I don't know what you guys think about it. I still say Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a great backup in Buffalo again. He's a veteran. He's a good mentor. He's smart. And he'd be better than what we have already. Or I was, you know, even I'm thinking RG3, but still Fitzpatrick, I think, would be a great fit back in Buffalo. And what do you guys think about that?
Well, we both hold Ryan in high regard. I know that. And I'm not going to speak for Donald in this sense. But if I go back to what Whaley believes is the standard for a backup quarterback, it's that the guy plays 500 football. I don't know, based on the evidence last year, I don't know if you could say that about Ryan Fitzpatrick right now.
No, you can't, especially with his last season.
Yeah.
His last season was not a good season. And you look at the year before that, and like, listen, like you said, we both hold Fitz in high regard. Friends, he's a friend of mine, a friend of yours. But the season he had, even when he had that very good season, that record-breaking season, you know, Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall were making a lot of crazy catches for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was throwing the ball up, and they were making crazy catches. You look at this last season, they weren't able to make those same catches.
Except against the Bills,
right. And it went all downhill from there.
Yeah.
You know, Decker got hurt. Brandon Marshall wasn't the same player for whatever reason. So he was trying to do the same thing with a lot of younger receivers that weren't able to come through like those guys had come through for him the year before. And I think that's why he had so many interceptions. He wasn't able to just have that production from the receiver position. I feel like, you know, somebody will probably end up picking him up.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be the Bills. They should probably go in a different direction. But, hey, once again, like, what backups are out there that you could say, like, man, this guy is, like, that much better than Fitz? I don't know.
Not many. Not many. A call from Milton in Buffalo. Hello, Milton. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Real good.
Yeah, Bills fan since 84. You know, I've been through every era, the golden era. You know what I'm saying? It just seems like lately the Bills, since like 2000, have been making the wrong decision. You know what I mean? Ever since taking Flutie out the game.
Now, what do you think about these most recent decisions this year?
These most recent Bills, I think, like, we got pushed over last year by Miami and no big teams, huh? Why don't we take a splash and get some big guys on the defensive line? or how you feel about Williams coming back?
Mario Williams?
Yeah.
Ooh. Mario Williams is one of those guys we were talking about the last segment. I don't think Mario Williams likes playing football. Mm-hmm. I think he likes the reward and he likes the money that comes with it, but he's not a guy who loves playing the game, so I wouldn't want that guy to come back.
You said enough about that. It gets us right into what we really want to talk about. And we started with Steve about 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Guys who don't love football. Jordan Cameron, tight end, announced his retirement, played with the Browns and the Dolphins. His quote to ESPN was, "I don't think a lot of these guys love football. Who loves to get hit in 10-degree weather by a 280-pound person?" There's something there. And when you and Steve talked about it, I got the sense, Donald, that your position was, did you say it's worse now than ever before?
I think it's
getting
worse.
What do you mean by worse? I didn't have time to get into it at top of the hour last time. But what do you mean worse? What's worse?
I think the players every year, you know, I talk to different agents. I talk to different players that have been in the league for a little while. And they say, like, man, these rookies coming in, they just don't get it, you know. And because of the business the NFL is right now, and every year you see the salary caps going up and guys are making more and more money, I mean, that's all you talk about in free agency. Guys want to get that payday. They want to get that payday. So when you're, like I was saying in that segment, you grow up loving the game. I loved to play football when I was young. Even when I was in high school, I mean, I didn't go to one of these private high schools. I went to a public high school. We had fun. Once I got to college, my thought process was getting to the NFL. Was I having fun playing the game? Yeah, but I knew I want to get to the league. Now, I was a guy who loved, you know, I love playing the sport. I really did. But ultimately, you want to get paid. You have guys that really do it to get paid. They want to get paid. And that's why we talked about when guys get a big payday, sometimes they back off, you know. And it's every year it's just getting worse and worse because everybody wants that payday. And you have guys that understand the business. They understand that so many different people are being paid around them. And they just, that's all they want. They want to get paid, and they want the celeb. They want the fame. They want the women and all of the other stuff that comes with playing this game. But they don't want to actually, like, wake up, go to work every day, and have fun in practice, have fun on the field every single day. Guys don't, you know, a lot of guys don't want that.
You know, I think, and especially in my advanced age now, I can speak a little bit about what it used to be like. And I do think there's a tendency to romanticize the way it was maybe back in the 50s and 60s. And mm-hmm. and those guys were playing to be paid as well. They didn't get paid quite as much. But, you know, I do believe that even the old-timers, guys who played in the 50s in the NFL and the 60s in the NFL and the AFL, many of them, I don't know what percentage, many of them would say, hey, if I could do something else and make that kind of money, I probably would as compared to playing football. So I don't know how much it's changed. You know, the money is astronomical. The money's totally different than the way it was 40, 50 years ago. But I wonder how much it's changed and how much different it is from, you know, the so-called old-timers who have, you know, thanks to NFL films, have been romanticized as warriors, you know, gladiators. I think they were getting paying to be paid also.
You know, I think back in those generations and even still when Steve was playing, those guys really had that, you know, that love for the city that they were in, that love for the guys that were in the locker room with them, right? Because they weren't moving around like the guys are now.
Free agency has changed it.
Free agency has really, really changed it now where guys are like, listen, I'll be here for 2 years and I'll go somewhere else. You know, you meet more people, but you don't have that same love for the city. You don't have that same love for – you still have friends in the locker room, but that love for the guys in the locker room, it's not like that anymore. Those guys back then, they wanted to get paid. Now, with the money that's really coming out and the way you see different things and the way players are being treated, guys are like, in their minds, they're like, yo, the owners don't care. The fans sometimes don't care what happens to the player after the player is gone. And so I just want to make sure I get my money and I can take care of my family. You know, if we win, I'm going to go out there and play hard, but it's not like, yo, I love playing this game. I just love waking up every single day, going to practice. It's not like that now, you know, and it's getting worse and worse as the years go on.
All right, speaking about getting paid, this is a topic that you came in talking about today. Lonzo Ball, really one of the best college basketball players in the country, plays for UCLA. They play in the tournament Friday out in Sacramento against mm-hmm. Kent State. His father is very outspoken, LeVar Ball. His father says Lonzo and his sons, LiAngelo and LaMelo, he thinks they're worth a shoe marketing deal worth $1 billion. Why does that hit home for you for some reason?
Well, the reason it hit home, not just because of that, but everything that he says.
He said a lot.
And so the questions that I have for you is, especially as a parent who has raised kids that have played sports, do you think now, as we talked about, you know, players not really caring about or players not loving the game, now you have a parent like this. There are a lot of parents that are like this, that live their dreams through their kids.
Yeah.
You know, so the question I have for you is, what's your thoughts on a parent like that in sports?
Well, we've seen it, you know. I mean, I have friends who coach football, basketball at high levels who say part of their biggest problem is dealing with parents who have unrealistic dreams. For instance, in college basketball at the high Division I level, everybody thinks they're going to play in the association.
Right.
Especially the parents think, oh, you better give them the right playing time. You better take care of them, not get them hurt, because we're going to make some money off this guy.
Right.
That's the way it is. It's unfortunate. Obviously, everybody can't play in the NBA. Everybody can't play in the NFL.
Exactly.
And so there's a day of reckoning for not just these players, but many of the parents, I think. That I don't know if now LeVar Bell has got really, as I said, maybe the best college basketball player in the country, right, and his son Lonzo. He might not have to worry about it. Whether or not he's going to get a $1 billion shoe deal, that's a different story.
You know, I think this really goes into what we were just talking about, because, like, I asked a couple of people. I asked my father, my uncles, who all obviously they have kids. I asked other people that have children, you know, what are you thinking about this? And the first thing most of them said was, he sure is marketing his kids. Like, they're going to get paid because he's marketing his kids.
Yeah.
So that goes to show where people's thought process is right now. It's about getting paid. The parents are thinking the same way, and that trickles down to the kids, you know? Sure. So the kids are coming up like, I just want to get paid. I just want to get there so I can get a $1 billion shoe deal. I can get paid, you know? And that's why every single year it's getting worse, because the parents are getting worse, and it's trickling down to the kids, and they grow up feeling like this. Do I teach my son that, yo, you're the best? Yeah, I will teach my son that you're the best, but you have to be humble about it, and you have to, you know, let them understand, listen, you might be the best, but we're not going to publicly just come out and say this. My kid is the best. He's supposed to have $1 million or $1 billion shoe deal. No, that's not what we're talking about. You play this game because you love to play this game, and if you wake up loving to do it and you do it every day and you work like that, the money will come. But you have parents like this, and it's trickling down to the kids and the athletes coming up.
All right. Good discussion. We're going to talk more about these issues as we move through. Hey, you have a chance, if you're home and if you can log on to BuffaloBills.com, you have a chance to win some great prizes in the 2017 edition of the Buffalo Bills Schedule Challenge. It is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Take a short quiz online. Questions like, who are the Bills going to open up against? Who are they going to play first in the AFC East? How are they going to fare, as far as primetime games? Short quiz online. And a lot at stake, including club seat season tickets for the upcoming season, on-field passes for the home opener, an autographed helmet. The Buffalo Bills Schedule Challenge, it is presented by Ellicott Hotels, and you can play it right now until the schedule comes out in a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so away, at BuffaloBills.com. Donald and I back to wrap things up in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Ryan Davis, defensive end, who played 4 years with Jacksonville, 1 year with Dallas last year. Ryan Davis joined us on the first hour of the show, just signed a free agent contract with the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And we talked with him about his decision to sign on with the Bills.
Just the direction that McDermott and the whole staff, you know, from the ownership on down, the direction they were going. They wanted to build a foundation with some good guys. I felt like he was the perfect fit for me, and who wouldn't want to be a part, you know, of that awesome D line? I've been telling everybody that. You know, who wouldn't want to be a part of playing alongside of, you know, this awesome D line? So to me, it was a no-brainer.
No-brainer, says Ryan Davis about joining the Buffalo Bills. Steve Tasker joined us in studio for the 1 o'clock hour today, talked about a variety of topics, including the Bills' search, we believe a search, for the number two receiver behind Sammy Watkins. Here's what Steve Tasker had to say about that.
Mike Williams. He's a number one receiver. Big, strong, fast. He's big target. Great catch radius. He's disciplined. He came out of the same program that Sammy Watkins did, and Sammy came out extremely polished. And you got to think Williams is going to do the exact same. Plus, if you draft a guy who is a number one talented receiver with Sammy, it's just perfect for the first year or two of his career to get it together. And plus, let's face it, if Sammy goes down again, you got a number one on your roster then. He doesn't go completely away. Plus, if you got Mike Williams on the other side of Sammy, the deep ball, I think, comes back to the team.
Steve Tasker on the search for a wide receiver. Our Twitter poll was about that. Where should that second wide receiver come from? The Twitter poll, pretty overwhelmingly, folks said it should be from the wide receiver or from the draft, about 75%. We agree with that.
Yeah, we do. We do. I think we both say that it should come through the draft. I think they still should bring one in through free agency, like a solid receiver through free agency. Draft one. Let those guys battle it out.
Hey, thanks to our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Want to thank our Entercom board op, Derek Kramer, production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltenek, Thomas Hollander, James Donovan, producer Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon with John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.